the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. You know, whenever we get out of here and kind of go about our day, I have a list of things that I want to do, and then something happens. And something did happen yesterday. In case you didn't see it, there was a shooting yesterday in Minneapolis. And obviously, the circumstances are extremely sad, but man, we're starting to really realize, not starting, we already knew, there's a lot of dumb people out there. We're going to sift through the nonsense, the propaganda, and obviously what's being pushed right now, because if you live in Minnesota, you're looking for a distraction if you're a Democrat, and you just found one. And so they're trying their very best to pivot, but you can't let up, you can't let the distraction settle in. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to make sure that does not happen. So buckle up, we got a big show for you today. We're also going to be talking to Gary Bregman. Now, he is a former DHS agent, Border Patrol. If you're not familiar with Bregman's story, well, he was actually thrown in prison for 2 years because of civil rights violations. President Trump actually pardoned him. Well, he's going to be joining the show today to react to what we saw unravel yesterday. And obviously, he's got a lot to say because he understands better than anyone on how bad these things to take place and how they try to go after these officers, go after these agents. This is really the goal here. I mean, we're hearing Democrats calling for the agent who was almost ran over, was physically hit by the car, by the way, was almost ran over twice, because he was apparently hit, and this is what everyone's missing out on, back in June of 2025 by another radical left-wing terrorist. So bear with me. There's a lot to dive into, and he'll be with us to kind of sift through all of that. We'll also have Mark Mitchell on the show today as well, and Mark's got a lot to say in regards to a couple of really important polls that are letting us know how the nation truly feels about some very, very critical issues like Venezuela, obviously, and, you know, Minnesota. So a lot to go over with that. In the meantime, keep my eye on the White House, because later today at 10:15 a.m. Eastern time, the president is participating in a photo with all of his U.S. attorneys. That is going to be closed to the media, though. So we'll wait for the photo to be sent out to the media, and we'll get it up on the screen once we get that. We're also keeping our eye as well on the intelligence briefing that's set to take place at 11 a.m. Eastern time. We'll go straight to it when that begins as well. I look forward to seeing what the president and his team have to say. And then at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, the president is participating in a policy meeting, and that is also closed to the press. So we'll keep an eye on a lot of things that are happening and keep you in the loop on those fronts. But a lot to dive into regarding Minnesota specifically. And I spent the bulk of my afternoon yesterday watching MSNBC, CNN, because that's where you're going to want to go when you have to sit here and kind of sift through the nonsense. They are intentionally trying to spew hate in this country, yes. So are Democrats, obviously. They've been trying to do this for quite some time now. But this is the problem, right? We have an agency, ICE, that has thousands of interactions with the public. They find one that's stirred up by their own, and they just use it. This is the opportunity they've been waiting on. Now they're calling for ICE to no longer go into big cities and take down rapists and murderers and ship them out of our country. Well, obviously, the Trump administration shouldn't let up. But I'm actually kind of annoyed that we don't do enough to stop these people. They don't have a right. They don't have a right to go out in our streets, get violent, get crazy, and do whatever the heck they want. We need to make this very, very clear. That's not protest. And it just so happens this all happens on what, the day after the five-year anniversary of January 6th, which the left continues to call one of the worst days in American history, which the left continues to justify Ashley Babbitt's shooting, by the way. Ashley Babbitt being murdered. For what? Take an unauthorized tour of the Capitol? Again, I'm going to dive into all of this, but it's absolutely disgusting what's going on right now in the media. And they're hoping you're just as dumb as they are. Democrats really not letting up. And they're calling for war. They're calling for war. So while those on the left continue to do just that, we've got a whole show to pack to kind of sift through. But buckle up, more to discuss in a bit. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because, well, for a few more hours, and when I say a few, I mean a few, you're going to get the Atomic Defense for free, potentially, if you buy a supplement, though. It's also 47% off site-wide as well. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. And make sure you stock up. When you support us at the shop, you're also keeping us up and running. We greatly appreciate you for doing that. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It was a bit of a chaotic afternoon yesterday. As you guys saw, Democrats doing what they do best, which means stirring up tensions throughout this country and taking advantage of a really bad situation, but a situation that this young woman got herself into. We're going to dive into the shooting that took place in Minneapolis in just a bit. That's the big one that everyone's talking about. And of course, Democrats, because they were looking for a distraction, they're looking for a justification for going after ICE. Remember, when J6 happened, they're like, oh, Capitol Police, we love them. Bow down to Capitol Police. But now they no longer respect law enforcement. They're actually going after those who are trying to enforce the law. Go figure. What we saw happen yesterday in Minneapolis was actually really sad. My first gut reaction when I was watching the video was just pure sadness for the woman in the car. Not because I don't blame her for her actions. I do blame her for her actions, but I feel bad for her family. I feel bad for her son that she just left behind. And this was all avoidable. We're going to dive into that throughout the show today. But most importantly, Gary Bregman is going to be joining the program today. And I've known Gary for several years. He is a former Border Patrol agent. If Gary's name sounds familiar, that's probably because you may remember his story. You see, Gary was sentenced to 2 years in prison because they say he violated the rights of civil rights of an illegal. And they put him in prison for 2 years. Now, he was pardoned by President Donald J. Trump. And so we're going to get his reaction to what we saw unravel yesterday, because he's got a lot to say. And it's important to know, obviously, these officers, these agents can't speak out on their own behalf, but they're being targeted every day. We talk about this all the time. I mean, all they're trying to do is deport rapists, murderers, people who shouldn't be in this country who broke our laws. And the left doesn't want them doing that. They have now used this. They're going to use this. And they're intentionally, I was just looking on X. I laugh because it's so bad. But they're taking images. When we have videos available that show us what actually took place, they are taking still images that depict their own left-wing terrorists as the victims, and they're perpetrating that online. And this is why it's so important to have things like X. Because if you watch the corporate media, you may think, oh, this is bad. This is bad. But again, we're going to dive into this, but I'm so infuriated. I want to keep driving this point home. The officer, the agent who shot at the woman yesterday, keep this in mind. Back in June, he was hit by another left-wing terrorist who dragged him down the street. So he has every right to fear for his life. You have no idea what kind of trauma that man's been through. And he's again hit by another car. Again, by a woman who is politically motivated to stop these officers from doing their jobs. That's what's going on right now in Minnesota. And Democrats don't even give a damn about these agents. She did this to herself. No one else to blame but herself. We'll dive into her background a little bit because, of course, she's a lefty. We'll also dive into the other white liberal women who are jumping on board and admitting that they too do this. And now they're afraid for their lives. It's absurd. We're also learning more, obviously, about the Somalian fraud that's going on that they want you to look away from. They don't want you talking about it now. So they're going to use this woman, this shooting, as a pivot, as a distraction. But you're smart enough to know that this is a distraction. You're smart enough to look at multiple angles, see what happened that day, see this woman being given orders. You hear it in the audio, and she decides not to do it. But don't take my word for this. We have multiple angles. We have the videos. Take a look at clip one. No! No! Oh my! What the? What the did you do? You are criminals! You're criminals! What the?
What's happening to her? What happened?
The only shame here is the terrorist decided to use his car as a blockage to prevent law enforcement from doing their jobs. You see, when you put yourself in this situation, things like this are possibly going to happen. When you use your vehicle as a weapon and you try to plow into an agent that is clearly telling you to stop, has his weapon clearly in your vision, and then you hit him with your car, you can't sit there and get angry. Yes, okay, do I understand? Maybe she panicked, but she put herself in this position, folks. You and I wouldn't be in this position. You know why? Because we're not morons. This is low IQ activity. When you sit there and you go after law enforcement agents and you stop them from doing your job, and like DHS accused her of, they're accusing this woman of going out there and stalking these agents. Now, it's very, very clear that the victim, or if you want to call her a victim, I guess I shouldn't call her a victim because she's a victim of her own stupidity. But man, does my heart break for her son. Because according to Colin Rugg, who put this report out, apparently she has a son and her son recently lost his father as well. So now he has no parents because she's engaged in stupid behavior like this. And your heart breaks for the kid. The kid did nothing wrong. There's other quotes that are circulating online about her mother saying she died in a stupid way. Again, she only has herself to blame for this. And then apparently she's a lesbian now, so she has a wife, according to the reports that I've seen circulating online. And her wife is out there, the one who's getting angry. At what point do you realize you've crossed the line? At what point? I don't blame law enforcement for any of this. I don't. Because they're going out there and they're trying their best to take criminals off the streets. And if you don't understand that, if you don't understand, you don't see the fact that we have allowed rapists, child predators, we've allowed murderers into our country, and we need to get them out of this country because we are all unsafe, then I don't know if I want to share a country with you at all. This is some low IQ activity to be going after law enforcement agencies, and to be sitting there and putting yourself at risk. You have no idea what they're doing. You have absolutely no idea. You know, things like this don't happen if you just mind your business. If you stop stalking agents. See, every single day, these agents, their lives are at risk. The officer who was hit with her car, it's not the first time he was hit with the car. According to Kristi Noem, the DHS secretary, she said specifically yesterday, then listen clear. She said specifically in clip two that this officer, this agent, he was plowed with a car just a couple of months ago, I believe she said back in June, and was dragged by this vehicle by another left-wing terrorist. Take a listen to clip two.
At 10:25 a.m. Central Time, Immigration and Customs Enforcement were carrying out lawful operations here in Minneapolis. Because of the adverse weather that Minneapolis has seen in recent snow, one of the vehicles became stuck and ensnared in the snow. Law enforcement were attempting to push out this vehicle, and when a mob of agitators that were harassing them all day began blocking them in, shouting at them, and impeding law enforcement operations. ICE officers and agents approached the vehicle of the individual in question, who was blocking the officers in with her vehicle, and she had been stalking and impeding their work all throughout the day. ICE agents repeatedly ordered her to get out of the car and to stop obstructing law enforcement, but she refused to obey their commands. She then proceeded to weaponize her vehicle, and she attempted to run an law enforcement officer over. This appears as an attempt to kill or to cause bodily harm to agents, an act of domestic terrorism. The ICE officer, fearing for his life and the other officers around him and the safety of the public, fired defensive shots. He used his training to save his own life and that of his colleagues. He was treated at a local hospital, has been released, and is now with family. I encourage the American people at this point in time to pray for him, but also to pray for the deceased's family and her loved ones. Today alone in this country, there have been four different domestic terrorist attacks on federal officers by the ramming of vehicles. Three of them happened here in Minneapolis. We've seen over 100 of these vehicle rammings happen in just recent weeks, and this must stop. ICE alone is facing a 1,300% increase in assaults against them and an 8,000% increase in death threats against all of them. In fact, the very same officer who was attacked today had previously been dragged by an anti-ICE rioter who had rammed him with a car and drug him back in June.
Oh, so he should just have to deal with this. You know, there's Democrats, we'll play in a little bit, who are calling for him to be charged with murder. Charged with murder. These are the same Democrats, by the way, that decided to praise Michael Byrd for shooting Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed woman taking an unauthorized tour of the Capitol on January 6th. They wanted to give them all of the awards in the world for what they did to her. These are two completely separate instances, but the justification that they use, they don't want to extend it over to this case, right? Ashley Babbitt, what did she do? She walked into a Capitol, unauthorized, wasn't allowed to be there. This woman now, Renee Good, decided to use her vehicle to plow into DHS agents. And they're upset because the DHS agent opened fire on her. Yeah, guess what happens? Guess what happens? When you use your car as a weapon and you try to run over federal agents and there's a gun pointed at you, they have every right to defend themselves. And the left loves to do this, right? They praise all of those Capitol officers that day, which were incompetent, out of shape, couldn't handle their jobs, couldn't handle their task. They're glorified mall cops at best. But now we have a real incident. And as you just heard Noam detail to you, this was what, the third car ramming? There was four total in the day, third in Minneapolis. Why do you think that is? See, this is the problem. I've told you guys before, I have the Ring doorbell app. I'm watching my Ring app from Florida and where I used to live. Guess what? We're getting updates nonstop about how they are putting out there on the internet, wherever ICE is. We have far left-wing terrorists in this country who are trying their very best to get these agents killed. Now, they didn't do under Barack Obama, who was the deporter in chief. No. It was okay when Barack Obama decided to round up these illegals and ship them out. They didn't care then. But because Orange Man bad, all of a sudden now they're all activists. And it's very likely that in the middle of the day, a woman who's being accused of stalking these agents, it's very, very likely that she was a paid agitator, that she's not someone who was organically out there just doing this because she just wanted to. Again, my opinion, but the reality of it is it's really looking bad. She's stalking federal agents, stalking them. When is enough enough? When is enough enough? And here's the thing. We have a lot of people who are claiming to have witnessed the aftermath, and they're giving their perspective on it, but they're trying their best to tone things down. And thank God we have Twitter, right? Thank God we have a fair shake at this. You could watch the raw footage of what happened during all of this from different angles. Depending upon which angle the outlet you're watching wants to show you, you get two different narratives. And it's very clear that the officer was hit by her car. Folks, I'll never find myself in this situation. You know why? Because I'm not a moron. You won't find yourself in this situation. You know why? Because you're not a moron. If a police officer tells me to move my car and they're surrounding my car, I'm actually just probably going to get out. I'm definitely not pulling forward where this officer is standing right there. You did this to yourself. You tried to block their vehicles. You are the threat. And if you see it any other way, I'm sorry. I just don't want you in our country anymore. I don't want to share a country with these people. This is common sense. And if we can't understand common sense, and if we cannot take responsibility for our own actions, then what the heck are we doing? I'm not here to debate this. There's no debate in any of this. There's no debate. There's whether you see what actually took place there, the authentic videos, you're watching all angles, you're seeing that she actually does make contact with that agent, that she decides, because you're looking straight ahead, obviously, to plow into someone standing right in front of you. She hits him, and guess what? He had to go to the hospital. Again, because again, second left-wing terrorist who's hit him with a car. I'm not going to sit here and tell ICE how to do their job. You know why I'm not going to do that? Because guess what? I'm not an agent. I've never been a law enforcement officer. I'm not one of those people that watches replay after replay after replay. And then watching all these replays, I come up to you and I say, oh, I could do a better job. Let me tell you how I should have handled a situation. You have a couple of seconds to react to a situation like this, and it could cost you your life. So my empathy is with this woman's family, her son who now just lost both of his parents, and the agent now who has to deal with the fact that, yes, regardless of how you feel about the situation, it is always devastating to take someone's life. But it would have been his life if she would have gone her way. And I bet you that a single one of these left-wing terrorists would have cried. In fact, we know they wouldn't have cried because when Charlie Kirk was shot in the throat, they cheered it on. They had no problem watching Charlie Kirk die on television. They cheered for it because they didn't like him. If that ICE agent would have died there, they would have done the same damn thing. And no, we're not going to sit here and pretend that these are empathetic people. These people are miserable. They hate this country. They have declared war on the federal government. It'd be one thing if the federal government was actually doing something that justified those actions. But the only obligation your federal government has is to protect the mainland. And they are trying to do that. And they are being prevented by the enemy. Left-wing terrorists. And I do blame the administration for this. I do. By the way, how does a bullet go through the front of a windshield if she's not directly hitting him with the vehicle as she's going forward? It's a clean shot. It's a clean shot. Now they want to talk about violence is bad. This is bad. But when Charlie Kirk was murdered by their very own, they all made really cute shirts out of it. They thought it was so funny. They thought it was so freaking funny. We really live in a time where we're sharing a country with low IQ people who do not share our same beliefs. These are the same people when they're the victims of crimes. They want law enforcement to react. They want change. But when you and I have to deal with these issues, no. They don't care. This is all a test. If you're stupid enough to see these videos and then to detail what ICE, in your personal belief, did wrong, you are an idiot. You're an idiot. Don't engage in low IQ activity, and this won't be you. This won't be you. And again, 10 a.m. in the morning, what is she doing stalking ICE agents? Again, ask yourself that question. It was a Wednesday. The rest of us go to work, we work our asses off, we pay our taxes, we try to do our very best. And then people like this, what is she doing? Imagine your son lost his father and you're more concerned about going out there and going after ICE agents rather than being a good parent. None of this makes sense. If you're a person who is raised right, who has good morals, and has an IQ that is above 70. Now we're going to dive into, in just a little bit, the Democrats who are trying to use all of this as a deflection. And you're smart enough to understand that. You're smart enough to see Tim Walz is thrilled. Why is he thrilled? Well, because obviously he's being accused of participating in a massive, potentially billion-dollar fraud scheme. And he's the one saying that we're going to war, talking about Democrats going to war with the federal government. Remember when January 6ers decided to walk into the Capitol for an unauthorized tour because they weren't happy with their government? You know, the building that we all fund with our taxpayer dollars. We were called insurrectionists. I mean, I wasn't there that day, but they were called insurrectionists. But no. What you're seeing play out right now, those are people who are just concerned. And they could declare war on the federal government. They're even calling, the Second Amendment. This is why they implemented the Second Amendment. They didn't implement the Second Amendment, put the Second Amendment in there for stupidity. Stupidity. We'll play those clips in a little bit because it's just so infuriating. They know exactly what they're doing. They are the ones with the mentally ill folks on their side. And so what they do is they keep poking them. And so they throw these words out there, hoping that they're going to do something. And what you saw unravel today or yesterday was exactly what they were hoping for. No, ICE shouldn't let up. And like I've reported before, last year they doubled the amount of ICE agents. They're still going through training. So while the media tells you, oh, they They hired all these ICE agents who have not been trained properly. We're not talking about the ones that are on the streets right now. They're still going through training. I would actually just say F it. Let's triple the budget for ICE. Let's triple the budget for ICE. I'm not one who normally advocates for growing the government. But guess what? The government has one obligation and one obligation only, to protect the American people, protect the mainland. And if you are trying your best to impede on that, well, we need to drag you off to prison. And then if things get really, really bad, go after the groups who are bailing them out. I don't know why we keep talking about it. It's not like we don't know what's going on here. These aren't people who are trying to exercise their rights. These aren't people who are just trying to fight back on a rogue government. These are people who are trying their best to keep violent criminals in this country, people who have broken the law. Whether you deem breaking the law for coming into the United States illegally as a crime or not, that's not up for your interpretation. That is the law. They have broken the law if they are here illegally. There's no way to look at this other than go after the criminals. We're going to dive into that. Also, I'm going to keep talking about how white women are absolutely ridiculous. These liberal white women. It's so infuriating listening to them talk because, you know, we joke all the time about the 19th Amendment. Obviously, I don't think it's ever going to be repealed, but heck, these women are really making a bad argument. If you're a female in this country and you like your right to vote, well, these women are the ones who are really just giving the opposition all the argument they need to push back on that. I've got a bunch of clips we're going to play for you there. And it's just so infuriating, so infuriating. And also the liberal men that are out there in the streets right now, infuriated about what happened in Minnesota. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. There's something in the water over there because these are low T men. We'll play you some clips because they're actually going after Nick Sorter now. So a lot more to discuss in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. If you want to support the great work we do here at InfoWars, you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and stock up. It's buy one. I guess if you buy one supplement, you're going to get the Atomic Defense for free or the Shilajit gummies as well. So head on over to the shop and make sure you do that at thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way. Thank you for being here. Thank you for not stalking ICE agents and trying to provoke them and trying to block them from making arrests. That's the reason why you guys are watching today. No, but seriously, folks, we're going to keep diving into this. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous what we see playing out right now. We have low intelligent human beings going out there and pretending like what you saw unravel yesterday in Minneapolis was a woman who's now the victim of ICE. No, seriously, they're saying that she was murdered after she decided to use her vehicle as a weapon, which she did. We could see from multiple angles that she used her car to plow into an agent that was in front of her car. She used her car originally to block them, by the way. When you watch the whole footage all the way through, you see that she actually does do it. And you can see that there's someone who's recording her because they like this. They think this is cool. It's good footage. So obviously, you have to wonder who's recording this. Well, there are several reports that said her wife was outside of the vehicle. Again, they're not really talking. I'm sure they probably think they have a lawsuit here. But look, they are the ones who are stopping these federal agents from doing their job. They are using their car as a weapon, You see, when you do stupid things happen to you. Me, would this happen to me? No, because I don't do dumb things. Would it happen to you? No, because you don't do dumb things. See, listen, I'm not an advocate for growing the federal government, but I am an advocate for the government protecting the people. That is their only obligation to do just that. And they're trying to do that. And these left-wing terrorists are coming for them. Time and time again, we hear about how they are trying to intentionally target them. This woman is accused of stalking these agents. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. If you're sitting here and you're watching that video and you're saying that the ICE agents were wrong, you are a very low intelligence human being. And I can't share this country with you. That's the point where I'm at right now. That's the point where I'm at. You know, I was sitting, and this was a few months ago. I was on Tim Pool's show and, you know, Tim was talking about Democrats, their voters, just being people that we had nothing in common with, that they're terrorists. And I'm like, not all of them hate this country. But I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be optimistic. It's not the case, folks. We have a bunch of people who hate this country. We can't just sit here and keep dancing around it. I want to be optimistic. I want to believe that there's some level-headedness across the aisle, but there isn't. I want to listen to clip three because a woman who claims that she saw the aftermath of the shooting is giving her detailed statement to the media. Take a listen.
There was an ICE convoy that seemed to be stuck, and then there was a protester who was blocking traffic so they couldn't progress. She was totally peaceful, and ICE, it seemed, completely unorganized. They didn't really know what they were doing. They were screaming at her to move, move, move. And then they approached her vehicle aggressively and tried to open her door. And then that's when she got spooked and she reversed her vehicle to turn her wheels to try to escape. And that's when an ICE agent stepped in front of her vehicle and said, stop. And then, I mean, she was already moving, and then point blank shot her through her windshield in the face.
I can't imagine what it was to see that, Emily. The way that you are laying this out, though, I just want to repeat and make sure that I'm clear, and please correct me if I say anything wrong. You're saying that what you saw was disorganized ICE, but then when they tried to get her to stop, she got spooked. She reversed her car to turn her wheels to get away, and that was when the officer stepped in front.
They were telling her to leave. They were telling her to move, and then all of a sudden they were trying to get her. So they were telling her to move, and then in a split second they were saying they were trying to get her out of the car. So it was like, yeah, she was trying to move. Once they were trying to get in her car, she was of course she wanted to leave at that point. They were extremely aggressive.
She would have been scared, obviously.
Obviously, she would have been scared. Now, you know, he's probably scared the ICE agents who are being targeted constantly. The ICE agent who was hit back in June by a car and dragged, he's probably scared. And you like how she gives you the details as to what happened, but she's trying her best to shift the blame from the woman who was using her car as a weapon to the agent. She was scared. She's scared. She's scared. You see, she asked for a problem because they weren't going to give it to her. They weren't going to give it to her. She had nothing to do with what they were doing. She decided to inject herself like so many white liberal women do. And as a result of all of that, well, she found herself being potentially yanked out of a car. Yes, they're telling her to move her car, but then they're like, no, 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 just get out of your car. Get out of your car. Probably because the agent who's talking to her realizes that there's an agent right there and doesn't want to see him get plowed. Low IQ activity. These people are responsible for doing this themselves. He is hit with the car. The other angle, you see him get hit. She did this to herself. There's no other way to look at this. And they downplay everything. And you heard the woman on CNN, and they don't even push back a little bit. Like, oh, well, there was something that stopped those officers, those agents, from being able to drive down the road. But what stopped them? Ah, a far left-wing terrorist. A far left-wing terrorist stopped them. She used her car to stop them and then decided to use her car as a weapon. Did she intentionally use it as a weapon? I don't know. Again, low IQ human. But when you put yourself at risk, guess what happens? Guess what happens? Stupid things happen to stupid people. And again, it's sad. It's very sad. Because you know what? Now her son, according to Colin Rugg, she has a son who lost his father back in 2023. Well, now her son just lost their mother. Did it have to happen? No, it didn't. You know why? Because if she was doing the right thing that day, guess what? She wouldn't have been in this situation. Absolutely devastating. Didn't have to happen, but it happened. It happened because she allowed it to happen, because she wanted to go after ICE, because she was allegedly stalking ICE agents. And again, these are all just reports being thrown out there. There's an investigation obviously going on, so we'll have to wait for all the information to come out there. But I'm going based on what my opinion is, based on the view that you see here from all of the footage, based on the fact that the bullet hole is straight through the windshield, clean shot, if you're directly in front of a car that's moving towards you. But the facts don't matter because Democrats have just decided they have now found their deflection. Tim Walz, someone who's obviously another low IQ human being, well, he is using this moment to go after the federal government. He's in fact declaring war, which is laughable given the fact that he's an out of shape older man who is incapable of even probably really putting up a fist and being able to physically fight an altercation. But he wants you to know that we're at war right now with the federal government, which if you are a left-wing deranged terrorist, like so many of them are, this is going to incite you to commit acts of violence like they keep doing, like they tried to do to those Dallas ICE agents. Remember when they sat there, that one terrorist was on a rooftop and tried shooting down? He was another low IQ individual and sadly ended up killing migrants because he's too stupid to understand what's actually happening here. But Tim Walz is ready to tell you all that we're at war with the federal government. Take a listen to clip four.
Well, I said this yesterday. We've never been at war with our federal government. I think in this case that the National Guard is their main mission. They have a dual mission. I don't know what to tell you, and I don't quite know how to respond to the question other than my primary responsibility as governor is the protection of the people of Minnesota. And you can be assured, whether it's the State Patrol or whether it's the National Guard, their deployment is there to protect Minnesotans from whatever it is. If it's an act of nature, if it's a global pandemic, or in this case, if it is a rogue federal agent. I don't know at this time, and I want to be very careful.
A rogue federal agent. Folks, I've had enough of these people. They are to blame for their own stupidity. And they will not take that as the answer. The fact that they are sitting here right now and saying we are at war with the federal government, what do you think that means? You see, they are very selective with the words that they use because they know that the words that they use are powerful. They know the words that they use are the words that are going to incite those who are crazy to go out there and commit acts of violence. And when they do, they never take credit for it. They never say, that's our guy. I lack empathy for these people. Why? Well, because they did this to themselves. Can you imagine Tim Walz fighting in war? We've never imagined a time where we're going to be at war with our federal government. What does that mean? See, this is the problem. You guys have me defending the government. I don't ever want to defend the government, but here I am having to defend the government. Because why? Because these people are so stupid. And they're hoping you're just as dumb as they are so they can keep ramping this up and keep using crazy rhetoric. But they're hoping you're going to buy this nonsense. And it's not just Tim Walz, it's other Democrats. Because in clip five, you're going to hear a bunch of them go out there and intentionally try to incite their followers to commit acts of violence. Take a listen.
Yeah, I mean, ICE has been carrying out state-sanctioned violence in our communities. We have seen them terrorize so many of citizens in the 5th District and across Minnesota. And that has tragically led to this murder that we all watched on TV. And so it is not helpful for us to have ICE agents unlawfully just carrying out these ridiculous raids that are not resulting in any sort of arrests, that have no explanation of why they are there. They are disturbing peaceful communities that are just trying to live out their lives. And I join our mayor and our senator in asking them to get the heck out of our city.
Invading our cities, using excessive force lawlessly with new agents without proper training. And sadly, this was not unexpected, but it is egregious. It was an outright murder. And the fact that the administration is trying to defend the ICE officer when everyone can see with their own eyes that that car was trying to get away because it still turned away from the officer after she was shot in the head. So the fact that they are arguing that somehow this is domestic terrorism, much less an attack on ICE, is preposterous. This officer not only needs to be fired and suspended, but based on the video, he needs to be charged with murder.
There's little I can say, again, that'll make this situation better, but I do have a message for our community, for our city, and I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the f*** out of Minneapolis.
Oh, tough guy. Real tough guy. That's the same guy who was crying like a little, you know what, at the casket, the gold casket of George Floyd. Remember that? Crying like a little bitch. And now, what is he doing? Well, trying to sound tough. Get ICE out. Get ICE out. There's nothing more disturbing than watching a man cry like this, especially with a face mask on. He's just so moved. George Floyd, who overdosed on fentanyl. And he's crying. He's so upset. Ilhan Omar calling the shooting yesterday murder. What a joke that woman is. What a joke. Bigger joke, though, how the administration hasn't denaturalized her and shipped her out of the country because we don't need her here. She lied to get in here. They have all the evidence they need and they haven't acted. So this is their own fault. This is their own fault. Omar also saying that ICE is conducting unlawful raids. Unlawful? See, why do foreigners come to our country and get to lecture us about our laws? Why do we allow that? Why do we tolerate that? Individuals who come from failed countries who were unable for hundreds of years to build up a functioning government get to come into our country. And instead of being thankful, saying it's a blessing to be here, to study and to learn how a functioning society is created, and then maybe bringing it back to your native country to teach them how to do just that. No, no, no. They come here and they lecture us like we need to change our ways because we're incompetent. No, no, no. We built an incredible country. Our ancestors built an incredible country. To come into our country, Ilhan Omar, and tell us what's lawful, unlawful, get out. Get out. There's no other way to look at this. There's no other way to look at this. Our laws are our laws. You came here. Don't tell us what we could deem as unlawful. She has another law. She has no idea what she's talking about. No idea what she's talking about. We're being lectured by people who, number one, are not very intelligent. And number two, well, they shouldn't be here in the first place. You see, I've had enough of this. And here we go with a little bit of a spicy take here. I know a lot of people get angry. And when I joke on X and say, just repeal the 19th, I constantly get private messages from women like, Brianna, don't say that because there are people who really want to do that. Well, to me, it doesn't matter because my voice is still heard. My vote is still casted. Because why? Well, because I obviously vote with the sane people. And those people wouldn't lose their right to vote. So I'm fine with that. But man, oh man, it's really hard to defend it when you have all of these white liberal women going out there right now and they are trying their best to advocate for stupidity. Stupidity. There's no defense here on any of this that you saw unravel yesterday in Minnesota. No defense. And yet they are still trying their best to come out there and pretend that that woman somehow, some way was in the right. She wasn't in the right. She wasn't. And I'm not going to entertain the debate. We're not going to go back and forth. We're not going to talk about it with people that disagree with it. Because if you disagree with it, you're just not intelligent. And I just don't want to be around you. This isn't a political dispute. This is someone, or these are some people who are just not intelligent enough to understand basic, basic things. Like, don't go after and stalk federal agents, which allegedly she was doing, according to Kristi Noem. Don't go out there and block their vehicles. Because every day, they don't know who's coming out of that car. What if it's three individuals who have guns on them and just start opening fire? Of course, these agents have to jump out of the car and get this woman out of the vehicle. They have no idea who's in that car. You had no idea who was in that car. But it gets worse. Okay, so let's go over how white liberal women are absolute garbage. In clip six, we have a couple of videos. Couple of clips. There was too many of them and it was just too early in the morning for me to grab more because I just can't deal with them. I don't want to hear them. I don't even want to share country with these people, but we have to, apparently. But in clip six, these white liberal women are fired up. They're so upset with what they saw unravel that day. Take a listen.
So ICE just murdered an innocent civilian bystander today. So that's where we're at in this country. If you don't like where we're at in this country, please, I invite you to bed rot with me. On January 20th, we are going to just not do any of our responsibilities at all and see how this country fares. Because if you're a woman, you know how much we actually run. And I'm sick and tired of propping up a fascist regime that has no problem murdering me. And they better count their blessings. We're just bed rotting for a fucking day. Because the Second Amendment exists for this reason.
All right, you guys, I just watched the video of the woman in Minneapolis. Don't go watch it, okay? If you don't think you can handle it. It is the most frightening thing I have seen in a long time. This woman was driving away in her car and they put their weapon in there and hit her in the face multiple times. This is not right. This was not self-defense. This was an execution. I am shocked because only a few weeks ago, I was driving around this town that I live in Charlotte, doing very similar things, looking for ICE agents, trying to prevent them from kidnapping people off the street. And there was a lot of other people out there doing that on a daily basis, as is our right to drive around the streets of our city.
No, it's not, you dumb.
It's frightening right now. Please be peaceful in your protests and don't give them any excuse because it doesn't look like they need any right now.
I cannot believe
that they just took this woman's life, a U.S. citizen, for no reason.
A U.S. citizen. What if she was an illegal? It's not even worth the argument there. But she, too, just so you know, was also participating in Charlotte in low IQ activity because it's her right to go out there and stalk federal agents and then try to block them off from doing their jobs. Yeah, it's her right. No, it's not. No, it's not. And I love how the first woman, join me in protest. Let's do bed rot together. Isn't that what you all do? Is that the reason why you're stalking federal agents at 10 in the morning? Because you actually don't do anything? Women, let's bond together. Let's not do anything. Men can't survive without us. Actually, men kind of built this country, lady. Remember? You see, this is the level of stupidity that they hope you're all on with them. As you heard the second woman in the video say, if you haven't seen the video, it's really bad. Don't look. Don't look. She's telling you don't look because she's hoping you don't actually look to see the obvious. The obvious. Go with my narrative. Just trust my perspective. My perspective and my perspective only. Don't look for yourself. Don't look to see that this woman was intentionally using her car to block federal agents and then use her car as a weapon. Don't look at this video. It's so bad. It's so bad. No, I would actually say that every American should watch this video. Why? Because maybe it will stop you from doing stupid things. Stupid things. Don't do dumb things, and dumb things don't happen to you. And I love this one, too. We're going to play clip 7 for you because this woman in this video is detailing what she saw, and she almost lets it slip. I think she was going to say the word paid. Take a look.
They clearly wanted her out of there because she was the main car leading the protest, is my understanding. I talked to another guy who was driving behind her, but she was very successful in blocking traffic. She was doing what she was set out to do, and so they wanted to get her the hell out of there.
So it looked like she was impeding ICE vehicles.
Definitely, yeah. Okay. That was her goal.
That was her goal. Well, congratulations. Congratulations. You've won a prize. Again, we don't wish any of this on people, but folks, when you do stupid things, things like this happen to you, and she controlled her own destiny there. And as you just heard, she was very successful at stopping ICE agents from doing their jobs. Well, thankfully, that ICE agent didn't die that day. Because not a single one of them would have cared if he would have died that day. Not a single one of them. Not a single one of them. They don't care. Now, whether or not they're paid, we don't know quite yet. I'm sure we'll learn more as it all continues to unravel. But folks, it's getting really, really bad. Like, really, really bad. And we're going to play a couple more clips. Let's play clip 8, because Nick Sorter is getting confronted by liberal men. And liberal men, there must be something in the water over there, because they are just giving off the wrong beta vibes. Take a look.
Get the fuck out of here right now!
See, that's what I'm saying. It's a bunch of...
They killed my neighbor! Who the fuck are these Nazis?
You guys are losers. You're trying to agitate people.
Some agitators over here! Get the fuck out of my city! What the fuck is wrong with you? Somebody die! Go to your car so we can take a picture of your plate!
Now it gets even worse because obviously these so-called men, when they're yelling at Nick Sorter, they actually don't even sound like men. And if you're wondering what the atmosphere is like over in Minneapolis, too, you know, Nick yesterday tried to call law enforcement to ask for their help. And he posted this clip, clip 9 we're going to play for you, as to what the response was when he tried to get police involved.
Location that they can access, so they can assist you.
Okay, so they're not coming to this location, correct? I have to go and find them myself.
You're not going to answer my question. Are you going to go to a different location?
I mean, I'm being chased down the road. What do you want from me? I have to go. What location do I need to go to?
You have to go to a different location if you'd like to be. Okay, I'm going to disconnect.
What location do I have to go to?
Protecting and serving the people of Minneapolis. Poor Nick. Yeah, there's a whole level of stupidity out there right now. And, of course, the lefties who are obviously pushing it. There's something in the water over there in Minneapolis. Don't drink the water. It'll make you stupid. All right, folks. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now because we've got a lot going on over there right now. And I told you, when you buy a supplement, you're going to get Atomic Defense or Shilajit Gummies for free. Got a couple more hours in that sale. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you for not spending your morning stalking ICE agents and trying to use your vehicle as a weapon. We really appreciate you for doing just that and being with us today. We're highlighting how stupid behavior results in stupid consequences. I don't know how else to put it. I see a lot of people are trying to dance around the issue because they are just too afraid to issue responsibility to the woman who sadly lost her life yesterday. Yeah, very tragic. We don't like death. I don't like death. If it's preventable, especially, let's prevent it. But unfortunately, one woman made a really bad decision yesterday. Actually, she made a lot of bad decisions, a lot. And it resulted in her losing her life because she decided to use her vehicle to both block ICE agents and also use it as a weapon. We've been diving into that throughout the show today, and I'm not going to shift blame. I'm not going to pretend that there's any justification for this behavior. There is none. Gary Brugman is going to be joining me in a couple of minutes. He's a former U.S. Patrol agent. He was pardoned by President Donald Trump. He was someone who was a victim, obviously, of lawfare. He spent 2 years in a supervised release. They tried going after Gary, and this is why it's so crazy to me, and I can't wait for his perspective on all of this, because, well, he was sent to prison, but ultimately what happened here is, you see, we tend to have so much empathy for the actual perpetrators, the ones who are violating these laws. And our attention really hasn't been appropriately shifted to the actual people who are committing these crimes. When I tell you all the time, and I'm so enraged by this, but, you know, when we sit back, we watch the people who over the last 4 years came in and invaded this country. And then everyone's pretending like we have to give them cushy beds and help feed their families after they invaded our country. It was infuriating to see. And again, some people not shifting blame appropriately to the correct parties. But now we're watching as ICE is trying to do its job, which is the federal government's only job. That's to protect the mainland. And they're trying to do their very best to step on their feet and to block them from being able to carry out this job. Here's my issue. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this woman is a victim. The victim here is, sadly, her son, who now has to, apparently, according to Colin Rugg, lost his father back in 2023. And instead of doing what was best for a kid, obviously, which would be providing, protecting, because now she's a single mother, and creating a solid future for her kid, she instead decided to go out there and defend people she didn't even know. And when I say defend, I mean her defend. She believes that she was defending them, illegal aliens. And, you know, according to ICE, she was using her vehicle as a weapon, as you saw. But you also heard from Kristi Noem, DHS secretary, come out and say she's stalking these people. I don't care. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like there's anything that she did that was correct. By the way, if you're in Minneapolis right now, public schools have been shut down, apparently, for the next couple of days because they're afraid of these protests being carried out. Yeah, that will do it. That will do it. Yeah, let's just shut down the schools. Let's make these kids even dumber. Well, I'm really excited because it looks like, too, and Nick Sorter just posted this clip. Despite all the rioting you see going on right now, this is footage that he has released. And it's both DHS, the FBI, and the IRS going door to door to go after Somalian fraud. Like I told you, this is all distraction. They're hoping that you shift your attention over to this now. They're hoping that you feel empathy. You feel like this woman is a victim. But she's a victim of her own stupidity, folks. She's a victim of her own stupidity. The left's going to tell you that's a cruel response. It's not a cruel response. These are the same animals who decided to laugh, crack jokes when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, shot in the throat. Remember all the jokes they were putting out there, the memes? They thought that was funny. We're not going to be empathetic for a woman who made a lot of really bad decisions with her life. My empathy is with her family. My empathy is with her son. My empathy is with that ICE agent who back in June was dragged by another left-wing terrorist. And I'm sure that's what your empathy is as well. All right, folks, buckle up. We've got a whole show to give you in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a few moments. In the meantime, head on over to theoxygenstore.com right now. When you buy a bottle of any of our supplements, you get either the Atomic Defense or Shilajit gummies for free for a limited time. I'm watching things developing in Minneapolis right now, and there are protests happening throughout the city. But most importantly, they're shutting down schools. They're shutting down schools, probably because they want more people on the streets. They want to make this more chaotic, as you could assume. They want to make also kids dumber. I mean, that's what they did with the pandemic. They used that as an excuse to not put them in school. And this is what they do. This is what they do. So we're watching things as it develops. Again, this is some low IQ activity that's going on right now in Minneapolis. They're trying to defend a woman who decided to use her vehicle to block federal agents from carrying out their jobs. Obviously, federal agents are under attack. Remember what happened in Dallas when an individual, another low IQ individual, decided to open fire on multiple vehicles. And again, because he was just dumb. Sadly, he killed migrants who had nothing to do with whatever thought his cause was, I guess. But this is why ICE agents are on edge, and rightfully so. Their lives are at risk. You know, I reported afterwards, though, waited until it was all taken down. But we did find that ICE agents, DHS agents, across, obviously, the agency, they were doxed, their information, their homes, their addresses, obviously, their phone numbers were all put online. So, of course, they're on edge. Of course they are. And I don't blame them. Now, when you look at the footage, you see that there is an agent right in front of the vehicle that is being used as something to block them from doing their jobs, but then it gets used as a weapon. Now, that agent you see in the front of the vehicle, according to DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, was somebody who was dragged back in June by another left-wing terrorist. So he's obviously got some trauma. But he's justified in all of this. He's justified in all of this. Now, sadly, we're dealing with left-wing terrorists here, so they don't see the justification here because they don't want you to see the justification from this. They're putting up still images. They're not showing you all angles of the footage. They're not showing you the fact that this agent was hit by the vehicle. And so now everyone's an expert. Everyone wants to tell law enforcement how to do their jobs. But the thing here, I'm not a law enforcement agent. I won't be able to tell them how to do their jobs. But when I see a situation, I say, oh, yeah, you should be able to defend yourself there. Well, that's just me rubbing my two cents into all of this. Let's have a former law enforcement agent weigh into all of this. Please welcome to the show Gary Brugman. He's a former U.S. Border Patrol agent who was also pardoned by President Trump because he understands that these left-wing terrorists, these Democrats, will do everything that they can to try to push back on us, push back on our agents from being able to carry out their jobs. You know, Gary, it's a pleasure to have you on today's show. We're excited to have you here. When I saw what unraveled yesterday in Minneapolis, you were the first person that come into my mind because, you know, you understand this better than anyone out there right now. You understand the risk that these agents are putting their lives at every single day. We're watching as terror threats are being made to them constantly. We had, you know, Kristi Noem come out there and say that just that day alone, there were four times, three of those being in Minneapolis, where regular civilians are using their vehicles to block federal agents from doing their job. That was just yesterday alone. So this is becoming a well-orchestrated effort. I just want to hear your reaction to the video and kind of just simplify it for our audience. As someone with a law enforcement background, What do you see taking place in that video? And do you think this agent's behavior, his actions, were justified?
Good morning, Brianna. Thank you for having me again. Ma'am, absolutely, his actions were justified. If everybody keeps saying he was standing in front of the vehicle, everybody keeps saying he should have jumped out of the way. If you take a good look at the video, it seems like he had gotten out of the vehicle on the right and was walking across. And he initially wasn't standing in front of the vehicle. The vehicle was pointing one direction. She backed up and turned towards him, putting him in front of the vehicle. That's what I see from the video. And again, he had been dragged before back in June, I believe it was. So he's got that mindset where he needs to be careful. And the other thing is, everybody sees these videos. I see about two or three different videos from certain angles. But I have yet to see a video from behind him from what he saw from the vehicle coming at him. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's from the vehicle going away. Nothing has his point of view. His point of view is completely different from what anybody else is caught on camera. And that's the important thing, because he's got a, you know, a 2,000-pound car coming at him, which is a weapon. And anything that's used against you can be a weapon. One of the things that we were very careful of when we were handcuffing people, if you get one cuff on a person, they snatch away, they've got a gouging instrument, you know? So anything can be used as a weapon against you. So yeah, he was completely justified in that shooting.
Yeah. Well, we're sitting back and we're watching Democrats call for him to be charged with murder. It's very obvious that you have a split second to make a decision, and that this officer, this agent made the best decision possible, which is to protect himself and his team. And that this woman was the one who really put herself in a bad situation by using her car to block them. According to Christy Noem, she was stalking them all day. Obviously, this is someone, because when we look at her social media page, she's got pronouns in one of her profiles. It's very obvious that she's left leaning at this point, and that this is something that she was doing because she thinks that she can. How do federal agents combat all of this when you're trying to carry out your jobs, when you know what we saw happen in Dallas, when these agents were simply bringing migrants into their headquarters, into their office space, and then there was an individual on a rooftop who opened fire on them? I mean, these agents know their lives are at risk. When you sit back and you watch Democrats call for him to be charged with murder, I mean, what the heck? How do we sit there and combat all of this? What do these agents who are still serving, I mean, what can they do? I mean, that's a lot of responsibility to put on them, to have them possibly second guess next time this happens to them, to think twice, because if you don't, Democrats will call for you too to be charged with murder.
And you said it right there, Brianna. This is going to cause a lot of agents to second guess themselves, and it's going to get somebody killed because they're going to be thinking, am I doing the right thing? Mm-hmm. Agents are trained at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, the Border Patrol Academy, to react in split seconds, to make quick decisions, you know, and everything happens so fast. In a split second is a life and death situation, but then you're put on an investigation for 2 years, then you're brought to trial for, you know, 2 months, and then you're put in jail for, you know, who knows how long, because of a split second decision that you made that you thought was the right one. And again, these agents love their job. They love what they're doing. I would be right there with everything that happened to me. I would be right there next to them doing it right now. I'd leave tomorrow if they let me, you know, but it's just a mindset, because that's what they swore an oath to, you know, that's what they want to do. They're out there enforcing our laws, making our people safe. And these politicians, with their rhetoric, calling for them to be charged with murder. And, you know, like Mayor Fry yesterday, immediately saying that DHS's view is BS. He's being judgmental. He's already saying that he's not going to accept it. You know, the guy hasn't even been investigated. The situation hasn't been investigated, and he's already crucifying him. Yeah. But yeah, and this woman had just dropped her son off at school. These people think it's a game. This battle on law enforcement has become a joke to people. It's become a game. And I don't want to sound cliche here, but, you know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And it's literally the definition of F around and find out.
Yeah.
You know, my take on all this, Brianna, is guess what? It would have been a good day to stay home and not interfere with law enforcement, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And if she would have done just that, she would be alive today. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. just really sad, because you hear that her son lost his father back in 2023, and now has to deal with this. But again, it's the mother's responsibility to be an adult and to not behave like an animal, and to not do this. Yeah, yeah. Be a role model to your kid. And unfortunately, she didn't decide to do that. and she decided to stick up for illegal aliens that day who she doesn't even know if the people that were being arrested by ICE, if these were murderers, rapists, child predators. She has no idea what she's stepping into. And when you mind your own business and you don't inject yourself into an investigation, into an arrest, these things don't happen to you. But see, Gary, this is my big issue, because when I watched yesterday all the media coverage going on, you know, the Minneapolis chief of police, he is someone who I won't use the word that I want to use. I will just say that he is someone who has taken a knee to the lefties and has allowed them just to run over him. And he doesn't care about defending himself, about defending law enforcement. And he's justifying all of this. I want to play clip 21 for our audience to understand how bad things are in Minneapolis right now. Take a listen.
I am obviously very concerned that I have been told that a woman who was sitting in her car blocking the street and not the target of any enforcement activity is now deceased.
I am told, as if he hasn't seen the footage. I'm pretty sure he saw the footage. It came out instantly yesterday on social media. So there's no way he didn't see that footage. What is it like when you see someone else who is obviously a law enforcement officer come out there and try to shift the attention, pretend like the actual perpetrator of all of this is the victim, and then allow those who are going to use this narrative to go after other law enforcement officers, federal agents, and just give them the lane to do just that? I mean, he's giving them the narrative, Gary.
I mean, he's a simp. You know, I mean, he's a simp. That's all it is. You know, and what he's doing, he's covering his own ass, because he works at the privilege of the mayor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the mayor obviously told him, hey, this ain't going to go down like this. It's been like that a long time. Deep down inside, you know, looking at the guy, deep down inside, he's got to want to do something, but he can't, because he's got his career. He's the police chief, probably has his family, and he's just covering his own ass. And that's what a lot of these departments do. I don't think it's the police officers that don't want to help. It's the management. It's their mayors. It's the city councils that don't allow them to do it. And had he had a backbone and done his job and secured, it's so easy, Brianna. You get the police department. We've done it before. You get the police department. You secure the area and you go after who you're going after. I mean, these guys were stuck in the snow and they got chased down. I'm just speaking in general. But you secure the area and allow federal law enforcement to do what they're supposed to do, or allow them to go to your jails and get the people. You know, what's his name? Tim Walz says he's calling on the National Guard. How do you think that's going to go, Brianna?
Yeah.
When they bring the National Guard to deal with federal agents. Isn't the president in control of the National Guard when they're active?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, I think that's for the battle back and forth. Yeah.
Exactly. It's going to get ugly. It's almost like the situation we had down on the border when they had the barbed wire. When the state kept putting up the barbed wire and Biden was ordering the federal agents to lift it up and let the illegals come in, which was also disgusting. It all falls on the government. It all falls on the government. But these people as well, they need to realize that this is in the game. This lady should have thought about her three children and the one she just dropped off at school before she went out and decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to go have some fun with ICE. I'm going to go interfere with ICE. This isn't a joke to these people. They carry guns for a reason. They're going after hardened criminals, and you're just getting in the way. And they don't understand that. They don't understand the consequences that are out there for playing these games.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they don't understand. And I want to play clip 17 for you, because the mayor, like you just said, Mayor Fry, he's out here and he's trying his best to change and spin the narrative. Take a listen.
They are not here to cause safety in this city. What they are doing is not to provide safety in America. What they are doing is causing chaos and distrust. They're ripping families apart. They're sowing chaos on our streets. And in this case, quite literally killing people. So they are already trying to spin this as an action of self-defense. Having seen the video of myself, I want to tell everybody directly, that is bullshit. This was an agent recklessly using power that resulted in somebody dying, getting killed.
See, this is the problem, right? Because we have this guy who pretends to be the mayor of the city, and he's poking it. He wants them to do something. He wants these left-wing terrorists to go out there and to riot and to burn down the city, because this is what they do. quite often. They're trying to spin the narrative. The narrative right now, we've been covering this for weeks now, is on the fraud. And so if things start getting kind of crazy over there, then maybe the investigation stop. But thankfully so far, Gary, you know, we just saw Nick Sorter's on the ground and he's doing incredible reporting, but he is over there watching as FBI, IRS, and other federal agents are right now continuing to go out there and find some fraud, dig into the fraud investigation a little bit deeper to find out what's going on over there. But they're using this as a deflection. Your reaction to this, obviously this puts federal agents at risk when they decide to use this as a pivot and put federal agents at risk.
You know, his language that he's using right there is exactly what's making all of this happen. It's disgusting. It's judgmental. He's already condemning, you know, the agents before that any of the situations investigated. How about Mayor Fry just sit back and be like, telling these people, how about, hey, stay home. Don't interfere with law enforcement. It's dangerous out there. We just had a woman killed. Please stay home. How about using that rhetoric? How about it's against the law? As much as you want to go out there and it's your right to protest, it's dangerous. If you're going to protest, protest and stay away. Don't be getting in their face. How about saying that? You know, and I bet you a lot more people would listen. But it's just that rhetoric is what's getting people killed, both on both sides, getting agents assaulted. Assaults are up 2,000% on federal agents, especially ICE. And it's just, he's covering his political career. And I think with Mayor Fry and the whole city council in Minneapolis, with this whole fraud thing, they're all scared right now. So now mm-hmm. they're trying to push the federal government out. They're terrified because they've been found out. So with everything happening right now, I think he just needs to have some compassion and tell his people to stay home. Pass the good rhetoric. Let these guys come in, do their job, and get out. All this that you're showing right here is unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, and I fear for these Border Patrol agents. I fear for them a lot. And ICE agents, all these federal agents, because they're out there doing their jobs, Brianna. And, you know, I was incarcerated for 2 years, and I didn't do a fraction of anything that you're seeing on TV right now. I pushed a guy on the ground. That's all I did. That was trying to get away. Yeah. I knocked him. I hurt his feelings at most.
Yeah, well, you know? I wanted to dive into that story actually a little, because I think you have a great perspective on all of this, because we're watching now as Democrats are going to go after that one agent for defending himself and protecting himself. They have no empathy for the fact that he just a couple of months ago was hit by a vehicle and dragged by another left-wing terrorist. So give our audience, because you and I have talked about this previously, but give our audience some background into your story and what led to President Trump issuing that pardon for you.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, you've heard the story before. We've known each other for a little while. But I served 9 years in the Coast Guard. And in 1998, I became a Border Patrol agent in Eagle Pass, Texas. And on January 2001, 9 months before 9/11, I chased a group of 15 illegal aliens. I was losing the group, chasing for about a mile and a half through a pecan orchard, over fences, through concrete laterals. I was losing them. And the trainee agent and his partner got ahead of me. They caught the group. The trainee agent was trying to get them to sit down. Some were sitting, some were standing. There were two behind him that were squatting. He had his back turned. They were literally behind him, had his back turned. They were, looked like they were either going to jump the agent or get ready to run. I didn't really know. So I flanked him. I ran up. I put my hand on my weapon, and I used my foot, and I pushed him from the squatting to the sitting position. I knocked him on their ass, and I told him to sit down. And that was it. And I got investigated for 18 months. Brought to trial in Austin, Texas, and they found me guilty. I appealed. I got sentenced to 2 years in prison. I stayed out on bond appealing the case, and the Fifth Circuit said that I don't know where they got this from, but they deemed that I didn't use excessive force, but that my intent was malicious. And how three judges in the Fifth Circuit knew what my intent was, I don't know, but they said my intent was malicious, so they upheld the decision. I got incarcerated for 2 years in five different prisons. And when I got out in 2006, I was a felon for almost 18 years. And in 2020, I never stopped with my story, telling my story, petitioning or anything like that. And I got a lawyer. He petitioned a pardon with the Warrior Defense Project. And next thing you know, I got a call from the White House telling me that the president had pardoned me.
Yeah, and it's such an incredible story when you hear President Trump putting all of this to an end. He obviously now, especially now, understands how the lawfare works. But You know, when it comes to you being prosecuted for this, and again, I'm constantly covering the officer that was involved, and it's a very similar situation in the Breonna Taylor shooting. He didn't kill Breonna Taylor, but he did return fire after Breonna Taylor's boyfriend shot and did shoot one of his partners, one of his colleagues, in the leg. And the problem with all of this, and that was Sergeant Mattingly, who we've had on the program as well, the problem with this is they hit him, too, with the civil rights complaint, the crime the charges itself, the Biden regime did, and they were trying to use him as a scapegoat. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison. He has since been released pending his appeal, but he did spend a couple of weeks in prison in solitary confinement. But I want to get back to specifically the lawfare angle of this. They wanted to make you a scapegoat and target you. Who specifically do you think was going after you to make you the example that day?
Well, this was actually during the Bush administration, and there was a U.S. attorney named Johnny Sutton. And at that time, the United States was trying to appease Mexico because Vicente Fox was complaining about a lot of there was a lot of migration going on back then. And they were trying to please Vicente Fox, and Johnny Sutton took up a war on law enforcement officers. I was the first one. And after me, he went after Ramos and Campeon in El Paso, Gilmer Hernandez in Rock Springs. And basically, he just started a war on law enforcement and going after everybody for civil rights because that's all he had. There was no other info. But the good thing right now is that this agent here, he has the backing of the federal government. He's got President Trump on his side. He's got, you know, the Department of Justice on his side because they're the ones sending him out there. DHS, when I was in, there was no DHS. We were Department of Justice. When this happened, that was our agency fell under the Immigration Naturalization Service. That's how long ago this was, Brianna. And yeah, so I fear for the guy, but even the union is stronger now. And we got cameras. If I would have had a body cam back then, or if this would have been caught on a phone, what happened to me, it would have been an open and shut case. They wouldn't even have brought charges because it was nothing. I pushed a guy on the ground, you know? So, but yeah, but this guy here, not what happens to him. Now what happens to his mental state? He got dragged by a vehicle, you know, 6 months ago, and now he had to pull out his weapon and take somebody's life because somebody came at him with a vehicle again. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what are these guys supposed to do out there? They have their hands tied when it comes to the public. The DOJ is finally letting them do their job. I've been on a lot of shows, and everybody always asks me, what can we do to secure our border? What can we do to make our nation safe again and stop all this immigration? And I always said, we don't need new Border Patrol agents. We don't need new laws. All we got to do is let the Border Patrol agents we have do the jobs that they're supposed to do and enforce the laws that we already have. And I've said that forever, and that's what's happening. Now everybody's complaining.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and if you look at the video, Brianna, this is all, you know, white American liberals.
Yes. Yeah.
This is white American liberals. I mean, I only saw one black guy that got his face sprayed because he got in a poor attacker's face. Like, that's a smart idea, you know, but
yeah.
It's white American liberals. Stay home.
Yeah.
Take care of your own business. Leave these people alone.
Yeah. Yeah, Gary, before you came on, I was doing my little rant about how dangerous white liberal women are and how toxic they are just to this country at this point. They think that they're doing a good service by protecting the invaders, and they have no idea if ICE was there to get a pedophile, to get a rapist, to get a murderer. But they don't care. They're privileged, and they just see that they are the ones who should be injecting themselves into this discussion. Gary Brugman, thank you for joining me today. Thank you for your insight, as always, and we look forward to having you back on the show very, very soon. So thank you, my friend.
My pleasure, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We got a couple more hours left in that sale that I was telling you about. Whenever you purchase a supplement, you get a bottle of the Atomic Defense or the Shilajit Gummies. And the Atomic Defense that you're going to want heading into flu and cold season. So head on over to theoxygenstore.com and keep us up and running. You know, we're diving into a lot, obviously. There's a lot of controversy. I don't know why in Minneapolis. But, you know, we're going to keep pushing back because a bunch of low IQ people are gathering together right now in the city of Minneapolis. And they're trying to protest because they think that ICE agents shouldn't be able to defend themselves when their fellow terrorists go after them. Now, folks, when you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, which means if you decide to use your vehicle to block federal agents from doing their jobs, and then you decide to use that vehicle as a weapon and move forward and accelerate when there's an officer, an agent standing right in front of your car, well, guess what happens? You've now given these agents every single right to defend themselves. You make bad decisions, bad things happen. This wouldn't be you or I. You know why? Because on a Wednesday at 10 a.m., we would not be sitting there stalking, allegedly stalking ICE agents. That wouldn't happen. But here's the good news, right? Because Democrats are using this, and obviously it's sad. A kid just lost his mother. That's very, very sad. But again, her decision. She made the decision to do all of this. Everyone likes to tap dance around the issue. Be direct. Her decision led to this moment. It wasn't free speech. It wasn't she was gathered on a sidewalk and yelling at ICE agents. No, no, no. She literally injected herself into their investigation, tried to stop them. The good news here is Democrats are trying to use this as an opportunity to distract you from the fraud. What's really happening right now in Minnesota? Minnesota is being accused of allowing Somalians and others to commit massive amounts of fraud. I mean, we're talking like billions of dollars. And so all of the very suspicious characters who have been there and have had, like, allowed all of these people to commit these acts, allegedly, well, let me tell you something. They're all starting to use this as an opportunity to distract. Now, if you're watching InfoWars, you don't fall for the distractions because we aren't low intelligent human beings. We are smart people who could see right through the narrative, and folks, they're doing their very best. But here's the good news, too. It's not just you and I. DHS, the FBI, they get it. They know what's happening here, and they're not letting up anytime soon. How do I know this? Well, Nick Sorter's on the ground right now. And take a look at this video that Nick just posted on X. Nick is on the ground right now filming federal agents that are gathering together all of the evidence that could potentially lead to convictions, we're hoping, regarding massive amounts of fraud. According to Nick, what you're seeing here is DHS, the FBI, and the IRS going door to door conducting raids on alleged fraudulent Somalian businesses. Now, again, these are just allegations, so just keep that in mind. But it's quite obvious that Democrats are using this as an opportunity to distract you. Because what's going on right now, you heard Tim Walz say, we played you the clip, they deem that they're now at war with the federal government. And listen, I'm not someone who wants to advocate for the government. I truly don't want to, but the government has every right to, number one, and it's the only thing that they should be doing, protecting the mainland from invaders. That's what they're doing right now. And number two, making sure people aren't defrauding our system. Because that's our money. Our money. Speaking about fraud, yesterday there were a couple of hearings going on, but most importantly, there was one going on in the House that was meant to highlight the alleged fraud taking place in Minnesota. And in clip 10, you'll hear from the great congressman from the beautiful state of Texas, Brandon Gill, outline how Somalians really don't contribute anything to this country. And they don't want you talking about that, though. But when you break down the statistics, it's really a tough argument to make against what Brandon Gill is trying to say. Take a listen.
Again, thank you for being here. Let me ask you, does large-scale Somali immigration make Minnesota stronger or weaker?
Certainly stronger.
Certainly stronger. Do you know what percentage of Somali-headed households in Minnesota are on food stamps?
No.
54%. Do you know what that number is for native Minnesota-headed households?
Well, to be clear, a majority of the...
It's 7%. There's a big difference between 54% and 7%, is there not?
Excuse me, sir. Could I answer the question?
Let me move on. We've got a lot of questions here. What percentage of Somali-headed households in Minnesota are on Medicaid?
I don't know.
It's 73%. Do you know what that number is for Minnesota native households?
Again, you're using the phrase Minnesota native households, but the majority...
The number is 18%. That's quite an astounding difference, I think we would
agree. Can I answer the question, please?
Let me ask you one more, and then we can go on to that. What percentage of Somali-headed households are on welfare in general?
I don't know.
It's 81%. What about... let me just ask you, after 10 years of being in the United States, what percentage of Somali immigrant households continue to be on welfare?
I don't know.
The number is 78%. So even after 10 years, 78% of Somali immigrant households continue to be on welfare. Do you know what that number is for Native Minnesota-headed households.
Again, you're using
non-Somali immigrant-headed households.
If I can just answer the question, you're using the phrase Native Minnesotans. The majority of Somali Minnesotans are as Minnesotan as any of us. They were born in the United States. It's only 8,000 of the 108,000 Somali.
And nevertheless, the welfare usage is astoundingly different. Let me ask you again, does that make Minnesota stronger or weaker?
Again, I'd like the opportunity to answer the question here.
Again,
the majority of Somali Minnesotans are born in the United States, as I understand it.
Okay, well, what percentage of working-age Somalians who have been in the U.S. for 10 years or more, how many of them speak English very well?
I don't know.
About half. The answer is about half. That seems pretty low, doesn't it?
The facts. You can't state the facts. You have to pretend, as he said, that the Somalian contributions have been certainly strong. Certainly strong. And although he wants to make the argument, which I guess you could try to make, that the majority of them are born here in the United States, keep in mind, it's a very thin margin. I believe it's about 54%. And that's mainly due to the fact that when they get here to the United States, they just keep reproducing and reproducing and reproducing. And that's mainly due to the fact that they're trying to have as many kids as possible to collect as many benefits as possible. But you can't talk about that, because if you do, you might offend those who aren't actually contributing. See, here's the thing, right? When these politicians, when these individuals, these experts come forward, all you have to say is give me at least three of the top Somalian contributions to this country. Just three. You'd hear crickets. You'd hear crickets. See, at some point, we have to continue to go out there and push this a little bit harder, because everyone feels very uncomfortable with saying that out loud. Why? Because it's deemed racist. If you say the truth, and if it's actually true, and it offends a group of people, then it's racist. It's not racist. It's factually true. We need to have more uncomfortable conversations in this country. That conversation needs to happen. We have allowed people into our country who can't even build their own functioning government in their country. Then they come here, they demand free, free, free from all of us. And they never weed themselves off the system. Now, I'd be okay if people legally came into our country, immigrants, and then needed a helping hand, maybe for a year, maybe for 2 years, maybe for 3 years. But when you've been here for as long as a lot of them have been here for, and you fail to even want to learn English, when you push that we must assimilate to you, not the other way around, when your leaders, your community leaders, go out there and say and highlight the fact that they've conquered certain parts of Minnesota, and again, we played that clip for you, specifically conquered was the word used to describe how they've overpopulated particular areas in Minnesota. These aren't people that are asking to coexist. These are people who are looking to take over. That's why the state had to change its flag. Again, in the state alone of Minnesota, they've got roughly a little less than 6 million people, 100 million Somalians. And for some reason, their politicians are just so weak that they must just go out there and say, Somalians contribute so much to our society. We love them. Because you can't say the truth. The truth is that they are leeches to the system. The truth is they don't want to contribute. The truth is they view this as conquering a state. And this weak little man, Tim Walz, allows it to happen. Why? Because he doesn't want to be called a mean name. Or, in my opinion, he's likely in on the fraud himself. Now, we've seen it time and time again. They don't make these transactions something that's traceable, right? We saw that there was an indictment in regards to Somali defendants who were being accused of fraud. They showed up to a juror's home with $125,000 in cash. Cash is what they were accused of. So it's likely you're not going to sit there and find a digital trail. We see the TSA whistleblower who came out to Liz Collins and said they are literally shipping out millions of dollars in cash and bringing it back to Somalia. And we have all the evidence. I saw it firsthand. We've documented it. Where's the federal government in all of this? Now, hear me out. According to the FBI source that I spoke to, they said that although the original case was filed under the Biden regime stopped investigating when they realized that there was a Somalian theme here and that They claim the director of the FBI, Kash Patel, that went down to Minnesota and demanded that they begin the investigation again and begin prosecuting the people in charge, who they deem were all participants in the fraud again. I haven't seen any evidence to back it up, but that's what I've been told. This is much larger than I think most people realize in this country. You know, there was a great clip. J.D. Vance was actually talking about how there's something soon going to happen. And J.D. Vance has, obviously J.D. Vance is on the right side of things. Right side of things. And in clip 12, he's talking about mass deportations and how, you know, it needs to speed up a little bit more. But he also thinks the faster we start deporting these people, the cost of living will drastically dip in this country. Now, I don't know if I agree with that, but take a listen to the vice president.
To get it done. And if you get the immigrants out of the country that came here illegally, that's going to bring prices down. Are exactly. we getting these illegals out fast enough?
We always want to get them out faster. A lot of the ICE agents that we have hired in the past 6 months, they're not even done with training. So all of the big investments that we've made in border security, what we've done is actually gotten 2.5 million illegal aliens out without any of the really big marquee things that we've been working on. That was just simple willpower and the President of the United States coming in and saying, this is done. I think we're going to see those deportation numbers ramp up as we get more and more people online working for ICE, going door to door and making sure that if you're an illegal alien, you've got to get out of this country. And if you want to come back, apply through the proper channel.
If things don't work out for me at Fox, could I work for ICE?
You never know. You could work for ICE, but look, you're a very compelling communications guy. You can be a speechwriter, assistant speechwriter in the vice president's office if you ever find yourself unemployed.
Ah, okay. So if I ever find myself unemployed, I want this guy's job. The guy who's in charge of just, I guess it's Mace. They're just macing these people. I want to be this person. I actually might just file and put my application in. See, this is the problem, right? And you're going to see it in a second. There's a video of, and it's honestly kind of badass, right? Because you have a guy who's calling himself a protester. Inject that into my veins. I want that guy's job, right? You have these protesters who were so emboldened to touch a federal officer, to touch his weapon. And then they go, what has happened to me? This is police brutality. I actually saw an account just do a still image of this. And it's just him getting hit in the face, which I think is Mace. But it's interesting because, again, they don't want you seeing the full video there where he touches this federal agent. Can't do that. Again, you do stupid things. You win stupid prizes. Sorry, not sorry. It's a consistent theme here. All right, we talked yesterday about what was going on abroad. Now, obviously, oil tankers are being seized, Venezuelan ones specifically, and it's happening in a lot of different places. We reported on the story yesterday, and interesting enough, the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, is actually sounding off right now in clip 11 as to what he deems the truth in regards to these tankers being seized, specifically the one that happened yesterday. Take a listen.
Two tankers have been boarded and apprehended by the U.S. military. A senior Russian lawmaker is quoted as saying this is outright piracy. What do you call these actions?
Outright accountability, actual enforcement. There's been a long time illicit activity emanating from Venezuela, around the world, really. The Dark Fleet's a global enterprise, but Venezuela has used it to transport sanctioned oil, flagless vessels that enrich the regime. And we have said a oil blockade is in full effect around Venezuela to ensure that that oil on the Dark Fleet doesn't make it anywhere. So there was one vessel that attempted to move toward Venezuela, and when we put the blockade in, turned around. So we've been pursuing that one for a couple of weeks, frankly, just a reminder that we will follow you. And when we have the opportunity, we'll ensure you are, we seize that vessel, which we did. And then there was another one inside, closer to Venezuelan waters this morning at the same time, simultaneously, that we also confiscated. So this is an ongoing effort. It's in full effect. The pressure is on. And as Marco has laid out, we're working with the Venezuelan government to ensure that there's a new way by which they can process that oil, partnering with the United States, and we're going to continue to enforce it, this blockade as necessary.
As you heard him say there, they're going to continue to enforce it. they're going to continue to enforce it. So this isn't going to end anytime soon, folks. It's going to keep ramping up. And it's something that we're going to keep our eye on, of course, of course. And since, you know what, since we're on the subject, too, as we previously were, about illegal invaders getting into our country, I can't keep talking about these types of stories because I think it's important for everyone to understand, specifically women, young women, too, in regards to Uber. Now, Uber, Lyft, they have been dragged into court several times. They were forced to hand over their I guess you could just say their sexual assault statistics. And they weren't very transparent at first, some of these companies, but they were forced to hand it over. And it's an insane amount of young girls, women, who have been sexually assaulted by the drivers. Now, there's a news story that just popped up in Georgia in regards to an illegal alien who was apparently driving for Uber, and then he allegedly raped a passenger. Take a listen to clip 13.
Police say Antonio Gerardo Badia Valerio was an Uber driver when he sexually assaulted a 20-year-old passenger last month. This mugshot taken of him a little more than 3 months prior is tied to a DUI charge in Gwinnett County.
It's scary hearing that, like, someone close to my age is getting, like, raped in an Uber. Because we don't know what can happen anywhere.
I think there should be a more safer way to screen whoever is driving, and the, you know, because it's your life that you're putting on somebody's hands.
Police say it happened somewhere in the area of Windy Hill Road and Cobb Parkway. The victim reported it to police around 10:30 at night. Badia Valerio is wanted on felony charges of rape and two other felony charges.
I don't think it's fair for her that she had to go through that while he still gets to live his life and she has to live with that.
A statement from Uber says, in part, "We take reports of this nature extremely seriously, and this disturbing behavior has no place on the Uber platform. We removed the driver's access to the app as soon as this was reported to us."
I have my own car, so that kind of like gives me an advantage not having to ask for an Uber.
Uber, if Badia Valerio was actually an Uber driver when he was charged with DUI and disorderly conduct in Gwinnett County several months ago, but haven't heard back. As for the recent charges here in Cobb County, well, those were just recently filed.
See, this is the problem, right? Because they're not going to tell you whether or not they knew that he was, first off, an illegal alien who shouldn't have been working for the company in the first place, because then it's likely that he must have disclosed or brought in them with possibly a fake social. Did he have insurance? I mean, there's just so many different layers to this, but this is what constantly is going on with these ride-sharing apps. And again, I know Uber and Lyft dispute this, but the reality of it is young women need to wake up and realize, like, you think because you're getting a safer ride home because you're not operating a car, possibly you had a couple of drinks, Uber is the safest bet. Truthfully, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. And it just highlights that point. I don't understand how someone could be charged previously and still being allowed to use the platform. But again, this is a major, major issue that needs some serious looking into by our federal government. Because whether or not Uber is or Lyft is allowing this to happen, again, this needs an investigation immediately because this is going on constantly. Every time I see these stories pop up, I try to play it for you guys so that everyone understands what the issue is here. I always tell also girls, women, before you get into a car, always check the plates. I've actually had the incident happen to me twice where I look and the plates don't match the app. Because a lot of the times they might be the same type of car, same type of model, but somebody else could be utilizing another driver's app because they're not supposed to be. And so you really have to wake up and pay attention and be ready to defend yourself if there is an incident like that, of course. Let's take a look at this. This is coming to us from Liz Collin. Now, she's obviously all over the Minnesota stuff, too. This gave me a good chuckle the other day. Remember that story we told you about that Nick Sorter went over to that Hampton Inn, the Hilton, that's allegedly not allowing DHS agents to stay on their property? Well, it looks like Hilton has actually removed them from the system. According to Liz Collins, that they have removed the Hampton Inn sign. So they're probably going to have to change the hotel name because according to the Hilton, they don't want them there. They don't want them serving. They don't want them pretending to be Hilton associated. And if this is the case, I am very proud of the Hilton. Because they responded pretty quickly. And although, you know, you can have your criticisms, but the reality of it is a massive corporation stepping in and saying, oh, we don't associate that. We actually do support our federal agents. And they do what you just saw there, because the company, again, it's franchises. It's a massive, massive company. So you have to take a franchise at its word. And then as soon as Nick Swerter put up that video, an hour later, the Hilton responded by yanking their licensing. So good on Hilton. Listen, we'll take a win. Celebrate a win. We'll take it. Interesting post that I saw the other day, too, and I wanted to get your attention on this. You know, the U.S. Citizens and Immigration Services, right now they put up actually a very interesting tweet. They're actually revising the naturalization test for all applicants. It's a test that obviously you must pass before becoming a U.S. citizen. Now, they don't specifically tell you what they're changing. You know, I'm going to be asking. Because I can only imagine what they're going to be asking. And I hope it's good stuff, you know? Because right now, our standards for accepting people into this country are pretty freaking low. Pretty freaking low. And so this would be a great way to kind of filter through the trash. Why not? Why not? So I'll be following that story as well. But I just want to make sure you guys saw that one, because that was a big one. That was a really big one. All right, let's shift gears over to California for a bit. Kami Cali. I don't know if you guys saw this either. You know, the good folks over at Zero Hedge have another story up. And this one gives you a good chuckle. U-Haul has just released its annual growth index for all 50 states. And for the sixth straight year, California is ranked 50th. With the highest rate of people moving out versus moving in. I wonder why. You guys, they want to make Gavin Newsom president of the United States. And although we'll joke and say we all know that he's an awful leader, Democrats, they're like, oh, he looks good. Let's vote for him. If he ever gets close to leading this country, where else are we all going to flee to? I mean, the only consistency here is that he's been able to be the top salesman for U-Haul indirectly. So I am a little on edge. I know a lot of people think it's not going to happen, but you never know. And I do deem it as a threat. I don't know if you saw this too yesterday. Maybe if you're under the age of 40, you know who this man is. Spencer Pratt. Okay, so my parents never let me watch reality TV, but I still watched it anyway. And so I know who he is. He is one of the, back in his teen years, he was on the show The Hills. Well, guess what? He's had enough and he's running for mayor of LA. He's actually done an incredible job at exposing all the fraud behind those wildfires that happened a year ago. So he officially announced his campaign and filed yesterday. And I believe yesterday was actually the 1 year anniversary. So he's looking for accountability. And this is what we do. This is what we encourage. This is how you push back. Instead of just being someone to talk junk, go make, be the change. Be the change in your own community. Now he's going to run for mayor, and I look forward to seeing how he campaigns. I don't even remember him being political at all. I don't even think this is a political thing for him. It's just a matter of holding these people accountable and just ending all of this, because obviously LA is poorly managed, and we all saw what played out during those wildfires. So good on him. We look forward to following. All right, folks, if you head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com, it is 40% off right now. 40%. We just saw that one pop up. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Take a look at all the sales that are going on right now for a limited time while supplies last. It's 40% off. That's the methylene blue tallow bomb. That's the one that's on sale right now, 40% off. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab it up before we run out, because that's going to be a top seller over at the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, she's a very busy woman. Very busy woman. She is about to hold a press conference in New York City. We don't know if she's going to be talking about the shooting that happened yesterday, give us any more additional details, but we got our eye on the room, and I'll bring it to you when it begins, because that is important for us to see if we learn anything new. So when she gets to the podium, we'll play it for a couple of minutes and see if she talks about the shooting. Obviously, that's something that we all want to talk about. So we'll bring it to you when it begins. Mark Mitchell will be joining us in the third hour of the program, which I'm excited about because he's got a lot to discuss and a lot he wants to sound off on. He's got a lot of incredible polls, too, that I think the timing of these polls is actually pretty impressive. They always know how to like hit the news cycle right when it's hot and to get these polls out. when you want to hear about them the most. So he'll be joining me in just a few moments. We are also going to be, well, I guess I'm just waiting at this point, but President Trump is going to be taking a group photo with all of his U.S. attorneys. That's actually happening right now over at the White House. Once I get that email, I will share with you those photos. Why not? Why not? So a lot happening over here. We're also going to be taking your calls for the second portion of the show. So if you'd like to join us, feel free to do so. 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. That is a number you're going to want to call. If you want to sound off in regards to the topics we've discussed thus far, obviously it's very, very important to have you on board. So something you want to talk about, you got to give us a call. Again, we're going to be covering all these stories. And Mark Mitchell has a bunch of really important polls out right now that we're going to be getting to specifically, though. If you want some topic overview, he's going to be talking about fraud and how many Americans think that the fraud issue in Minnesota is a big issue, of course. And it's good for us to kind of hear that because, well, we want to know. We want to know how Americans feel, especially heading into midterms. Is this a top priority? Because right now for the Trump administration, they're hyper-focused right now on Minnesota and California when it comes to fraud. So Mark Mitchell is going to join me to elaborate a little bit on that. He'll also be joining me to discuss another issue that the Trump administration is really focused on. That's Venezuelan oil tankers. You know, I played the clip for you earlier in the show about Pete Hegseth, the Department of War Secretary, detailing what took place yesterday, which I thought was really important for us to get to that point. But they've actually just polled how Americans feel on the oil tankers. And well, it's something you're going to listen in on, so stay put there. But folks, like I mentioned, we're going to be taking your call this portion of the show. You'll see that we'll be doing it probably around, I don't know, maybe in like 25 minutes. So if you want to join the show, 877-789-2539. Again, that's the number you're going to want to call if you'd like to join the show. And I'm trying my very best to get to all the callers. I always aim for perfection. So make sure you head on over and give us a call if you'd like to join us. Maybe sound off on the things that are going on right now in Minnesota, maybe California, and other places as well. I don't know if anyone saw this story, but there was a LA man who apparently was trying to shoot at the helicopters of police. The video is kind of wild because they are actively trying to arrest him. I don't know what he thought he was doing there. Obviously, it's very dangerous. It's obviously very, including my thing all day, low IQ. But when you engage in low IQ activity like this, well, someone's going to take a bite out of you. And that somebody's a little cute pooch who decided to help his former, well, his colleagues. Los Angeles police released their dog on the crazed gunman. And thankfully, the dog is okay. But the dog did bite him. And, you know, he got a little injury from the bite, whatever. But police did also shoot at him. And he wasn't really shot, though. But the dog did apparently bite him in both the shoulder, the arm, and the leg. So I guess that's good. Not so much for the dog, though. Poor pup. Give him a bonus. Give him a bonus. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a little bit. Don't go anywhere. Again, we have an incredible sale. A couple more hours left over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over there right now. When you purchase a supplement, you can pick. Do you want some atomic defense? Maybe help you as we go into flu cold season. We're actually not even going into it. We're kind of there now. Or do you want some Shilajit gummies? Well, that's what you get when you make us purchase right now over at the shop when you purchase a supplement. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. DHS press secretary, or I should say, the spokeswoman, Trish McLaughlin, is at the podium right now, just detailing who's going to speak at the press conference. Kristi Noem, though, is going to be speaking in a few moments. She's obviously the DHS secretary. We're looking to hear from her. Maybe they've got some new information regarding the shooting that took place yesterday. But right now, this press conference is being held in New York City. So we'll see and wait for that to begin. Trish McLaughlin, this woman's an absolute patriot, by the way. If you don't follow her on X, make sure you do. She's based. She doesn't care about the left's narrative, and she's fearless. She's fearless. They even actually tried going after her. As many of you guys know, she gets constant amount of death threats. But she's fearless. She's not backing down anytime soon. And she's also beautiful. So why not go there? Trish McLaughlin, great woman. All right. So we're keeping our eye on a lot. Let me talk about the polls right now. You see, when it comes to the polls about how Americans truly are feeling, when it comes to the fraud, well, a lot of Americans are fired up over it. But J.D. Vance was talking yesterday to Fox News, and in clip 19, he's kind of alluding to that this is actually bigger than just Minnesota. Take a listen.
I believe, Jesse, we're going to have some very big announcements on this stuff in the next couple of days. I don't want to get ahead of the president on anything, but we believe that there is a nationwide fraud ring that's rooted in illegal aliens and others taking advantage of the American welfare system. We're going to get to the root of it, and anybody who's involved is going to get prosecuted.
So it's likely bigger than we've already been talking about. No surprise there. Rasmussen Reports just put out a new poll, and it says that 53% of likely U.S. voters believe it is likely that the amount of fraud in just Minnesota alone, the federal funding programs, well, it's probably more than $1 billion. Joining me to discuss all things related to the fraud in Minnesota and how Americans truly feel about this, Mr. Mark Mitchell. He's the head pollster for Rasmussen Reports, good friend of the program. And, Mark, you guys are sifting through all the really important stories that Americans want to talk about. But I'm really interested in this one because, you know, we're focused on the fraud. And I want to know how Americans feel about this as we head, obviously, get closer and closer to midterms. Is this a top priority for Americans? So break down these latest numbers.
Yeah, not only that, I think it's probably the biggest gift that the Republican Party has been given since Doge. To kind of rewind, you know, Donald Trump's third campaign, was very different from the first two. The first one was like, hey, we're going to build a wall. We're going to hold China accountable. We're going to drain the swamp. This one was, we are your retribution, and we are going to return a golden age to America. And that's very different. And it's also a lot less specific. But then when he started this term, everybody said, wow, he means it. Look at this. There are federal workers crying, and suicide watch is trending in Washington, D.C. And all of these people have to respond to this email or they get the axe. And we're going to audit Fort Knox, and we might even go after the Fed, and we're going to take a look at the finances at the Department of Defense. It was wild, and what it did was it actually captured the zeitgeist of the youth. For the very first time, Republicans actually had the youth vote. We had a 60% job approval rating with the under 40 voters, and that should have redefined all of politics in Washington, D.C., and obviously it didn't. In fact, it would appear, this is my belief, that the Republican Party ran Doge out of Washington, D.C. on a rail because they didn't want the funding cut. They wanted their one big beautiful bill that was, okay, it had some executive orders in it, but at the end of the day, it was a big 3,000-page Washington, D.C. spending bill. Like, that's what it was. That's what these reconciliation bills are going to continue to be. And so that was a really big blow to the Trump administration, because after Doge, I think we can all admit the last 6 months kind of, haven't been quite what we've been expecting. There's been a lot of dalliances overseas, a lot of time spent with people like Lindsey Graham and billionaires, and not a lot of focus on the core fundamental problems we have in America, which is that Donald Trump was elected because people don't trust the federal government. Those numbers have gotten worse. He has not drained the swamp. It has gotten worse. And the American dream, and Donald Trump, as we know from November and December, was trying to do an end zone dance way before we got there. And so you're not just going to be able to pick the stock market numbers and say we're there.
Yeah.
And so in my opinion, the wheels have kind of fallen off, and his numbers sort of reflect that. He's at a negative 9% net approval rating as of yesterday, and that puts him below where he was in the first term, when he has objectively, in my opinion, accomplished more than the first term, but this is a different America. And so now all of a sudden this drops in your lap. Well, look at that. Some kid with an iPhone goes to Minnesota and does the work of all of the federal agencies, every state and local law enforcement group in Minnesota, and all of the multi-billion dollar mainstream media journalist organizations. Like, all of those people have been completely put to shame by independent journalists on X. And here we have this validation again for the American people that this whole thing is this Ponzi scheme full of grift. And so it's awful hard to talk about cutting people's entitlements, cutting social safety nets, when there is implied hundreds of billions of dollars of grift, and people know this. And so here it is. This is the biggest opportunity. And there were two other really important findings in this poll. Agree or disagree with this statement, the fraud reported in Minnesota is just the tip of a very large iceberg of fraud involving federally funded programs nationwide. And we got a 61% number on that agreeing. Only 12% strongly disagree. And the under 40 voters is pulling the numbers up. It's basically 2/3 of everybody under 40 agrees. Oh, yeah. Obviously, it's way worse than this. Every state is doing it. We all know it. And the level of anger in waste, fraud, and abuse has gone up since the spring. It's gone from 72% to 75% now, very high among the under 40 voters. And so these people just want this system frigging fixed. And I think that this, my advice for Donald Trump is to use this. If you can't govern with Republicans, if you can't get that, malfeasant, negligent party to actually legislate good legislation that Americans want, then at least between now and November, raid every single blue city. You know, let's federalize their police forces. Let's declare martial law. If there's a hurricane that causes $10 billion of property damage in Florida, we call in FEMA and declare a federal emergency. Why isn't this a federal emergency? Why aren't we putting troops in there? And here you have Waltz, who has criminal implications, and he's out there saying, well, we're going to bring the National Guard in to try and get rid of these federal ICE agents that should be there. And it's getting wild. And so, I mean, if it has to accelerate, I think that it's necessary in order to give people the retribution, I think the right word is probably brutal government reform that they expected and they haven't gotten any of.
You know, Mark, it's kind of crazy because you and I wouldn't normally be advocating for the federal government to step in and start, be a bigger government. I mean, but the reality of it is we have people right now who are the left, Democrats, who are doing their very best to prevent the only real thing that the government should be doing, which is protecting the American people, right? Joe Biden shuffled millions of unknown individuals into our country. We know a lot of these people are murderers, rapists, and child predators. And of course, Democrats find themselves advocating for them. And they really just don't have any shame in that. But, you also have another poll up on your website right now, and it says that when you guys ask likely voters about how they feel about the United States and whether it's heading in the right direction, 40% says it's likely heading in the right direction, if I've got that correct. So can you break that down for us and how this all lines up?
So this is one we've been tracking because the second Trump administration was breaking all of the right direction records. Mm-hmm. America has gotten so bad that this most recent Trump campaign really gave people what they wanted. And again, it was non-specifics, but basically a uniparty ruling kleptocracy that occupies Washington, D.C. has basically stolen the American middle class from the taxpayer donkey and shipped it overseas and given it to literally every other country on earth. We're subsidizing people in every continent, the American taxpayer. Mm-hmm. And all of it, is enabled by this corporate capture, this corporate welfare, and this unholy alliance of big corporations and government that hasn't worked for Americans. And people don't fundamentally know that, but like I kind of do, but it shows up in the polling when all of a sudden, just in the last 5 years, Americans used to say, well, I'm better off than I was 4 years ago by a majority. And people used to say, well, today's children will have it better off than their parents. And that flipped, like it's not there anymore. And so there's an aspect of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs where all of a sudden Americans' basic needs aren't being fulfilled. And it changes politics because all of a sudden they're not going to put up with things that look like other people's interests are being put first, like regime change in Iran. It's not going to be popular and people probably support regime change in Iran. But if that's what you spend your political capital on and not talking about these core fundamental problems, then you're going to lose. And those problems are: the oligarchy has destroyed the American economy for most Americans, and our government has been taken over by people with no principles who are unaccountable, period. And so, right direction, that itch was getting scratched. We were setting records. We had 37 consecutive weeks of right direction over 40. And for the very first time, again, back when Trump was like doing Liberation Day and when we were hacking apart the government, we actually got a one weekly reading where for the very first time, a majority of Americans said the country was headed in the right direction. So now this 40 number, it's been flirting back and forth with, we lost 40. And when we lost, it was after the November 2025 cycle. Donald Trump was, hugging Bibi Netanyahu and fighting with mainstream media journalists over the affordability hoax. And it didn't look good. Like all of November was basically a complete debacle. That's when we lost the 40% right direction number. Still kicking around there. And again, I'm not trying to say that Trump's political capital is spent or that he can't recover, but we're staring down the barrel of a pretty close election next fall. It's probably a miracle that it isn't a bigger Democrat lead right now. It's only Democrat plus four. And Republicans actually could win this because for the very first time, again, they had the right platform. But the combination of a Republican legislature and a Republican presidency is not working out. They aren't unable to address these problems in a way that resonates with Americans and gives Americans confidence that this combo can actually govern. And they really can't. They have really done nothing. And I know there's limitations. I think Americans are kind of begging for people to burn these sacred cows and play fast and loose with the rules. You know, I'm a Constitution guy, but to be honest with you, it's not a suicide pact. And I don't think the under 40 voter would like the country to implode on principle. They want their America back. They want principles. And that means people that need to be held accountable. That's the problem, is that there is no accountability anymore for our elected leaders. And I hate to distill it down to arrests. But if there are no arrests, like if a Republican mandate is not adequate to reform our government, then we're pretty much lost. Like, that's pretty much it. We're going down a dark path. And I understand there's limitations. I understand that, okay, that maybe they won't get convicted in a court of law in Washington, D.C. But if that's the case, if our judicial system is that far gone that these people can never be held accountable, then I kind of think you have a moral obligation to highlight that it's already gone for the voters, because anything else is lying, right? Lying by omission. And that's where we're at. And so if you need to arrest a whole bunch of people knowing that they're going to walk, but at least it gets the evidence out there, at least people see that our criminal justice system doesn't work, that's the kind of thinking that I think we need to see out of the Republican Party, who has hamstringed themselves time and time again by stupid laws and rules that make sense to people in Washington, D.C. But at the end of the day, people's basic needs are not being met. Yeah. You know, I mean, like any one of these metrics – a 40-year-old first-time median homebuyer age? Like, what are we even doing here?
Yeah.
And the job market, I mean, people can thump their chest about the unemployment rating, but everything I'm seeing on the higher end of the job market for younger people is that there's nothing out there. It's all been sent overseas. It's all H-1Bs. The competition is completely, like, super intense for high-salaried jobs. And we have, like, more people with degrees than ever. They can't find jobs. That's the worst thing, because that's what makes conservatives. That's what makes a normal country. You get an American, give them a degree, get them a high paying salaried corporate job. They're going to buy a house. They're going to raise kids. And you have Elon Musk thumping his chest about why won't Americans procreate? They can't afford a house, bro. You gave their jobs to Indians. Like, it's perverse. And the system is so rotted and it needs to be corrected. And I don't get the feeling, listening to Trump, that he understands how bad it actually is.
Yeah, this is the problem with little bubbles, right? Because I feel like he's got a very protective bubble around him, and a lot of this stuff doesn't make its way into his inner circle. And I think Americans are fed up. And when we watch the rise of communist politicians all across the United States, it's because this younger demographic is pulling for the absolute worst. People who are just simply addressing their concerns, which is affordability. And it's so frustrating to see, because there is a legitimate argument to be made about the affordability crisis here in the United States. And, you know, we heard J.D. Vance earlier in the show. We played a clip of him saying that, you know, if we just deport these illegal aliens and we carry through with mass deportations, that the housing costs will go down, the living costs will go down. Mark, I don't actually see that being a drastic dip that the American people really need at this point. It just seems like everything's been so inflated through several different, I mean, there's so many different ways. There's not just one avenue for it. You know, you could sit there and blame the pandemic, you could blame other things, but you could blame, you know, companies like BlackRock. But the reality of it is there's so many leading causes to all of this. Do you think that the leading cause is mass migration? Because that's where J.D. Vance is pointing this to.
I mean, I think it helps, obviously, and I don't like it because it feels like a limited hangout, because obviously the H-1B program is way, way, way worse.
Yeah.
But also the H-1B program is a sacred cow in Washington, D.C. The big business Republican wing of the party loves it. They have literally gotten rid of unions, and now we have a bottomless well of infinite scab labor from the third world. And it has suppressed wages for 20 or 30 years. And I know just personally from my own experiences in corporate America, illegal aliens didn't do this to me. India did. And, you know, India is now writing nasty articles about the things I say about them online, because so few people are willing to call them out because they're afraid that they're going to be completely shut out of corporate America. I guess I'm unemployable now. But it is a scam. I mean, I've worked in Walmart. If you just look at it economically, if you deport one illegal alien, you know, that's like 1/10 of deporting a Walmart senior engineering developer, right? Like just economically. And so like, let's send them back. It would be, I think, a much bigger impact. It would certainly crash the housing market. Look at Silicon Valley is like 66% Asian, and they have the highest real estate prices in the country, and it's all H-1B labor. Now, I think also, though, America is understanding as far as, again, I laid it out for the White House as like, there's really two things that you have to do. And one is actually have a pragmatic solution for our economy that is not democratic socialism, because that's kind of the default position of the younger voter, is that if they can't get the Republican Party to actually address or fix these problems, they're just going to vote Democrat socialist because they kind of already are, like they're already there and they want Trump to succeed. But I don't think there's a lot of confidence he is right now. I think that they will give a benefit of the doubt as long as they're talking about things the right way, which is like, hey, it's going to take years to fix this. But at least here's our plan, and it makes sense, and we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and it might take us longer to do the rest of this stuff, but keep voting for Republicans because the Republican Party is now the party of the middle-class worker. That's very easy messaging, but Trump has not been able to do that because he hangs out with billionaires. And I think J.D. Vance has been able to, but you still feel this pushback and limitation. The H-1B thing, we're talking about almost every Fortune 100 company has gone long the H-1B, to the extent where I even wonder what would happen if it really pops off with China and Russia. You know, India is part of the BRICS, and they kind of de facto have control of the engineering organizations of most of our major corporations in a way where sabotage could just be absolutely brutal. And, you know, again, these are not people who are on the pathway to American citizenship. They're exploiting a U.S. economic zone and then basically remitting $40 billion a year on top of the $100, $120 billion a year in offshoring that happens there. And then the other is, again, brutal, visible government reform. And unfortunately, I don't think America is going to wait much longer for this one. The numbers, again, just keep going up. And especially the younger voters, I think they're going to turn on Trump. And, you know, these people are really good at spotting inauthenticity. He did say many times, retribution and revenge. And remember, he started like one of his debates against Hillary Clinton, you would be in jail. And so for 10 years to dangle this carrot in front of the Republican voter and say, yeah, you know, I see that the system's corrupt. We do have a deep state. There are all these people that are fraudulent. And for not a single arrest, like James Comey just doesn't cut it. You know what I mean? We have Stacey Abrams out there considering whether she's going to run or not in Georgia. Like, what are we even doing? Didn't she have some fat $2 billion grift that we talked about in February and then everybody forgot about? Mm-hmm. And what about Act Blue? Act Blue is going to have $3 billion going into the 2026 cycle. Trump's raging about they're going to impeach him again. I don't really think that matters, but it seems to matter to him. And it's like, okay, you're going to lose Congress. They're going to impeach you, but we haven't done anything about the $3 billion that Act Blue is going to raise in the 25 and 26 calendar years. They're going to finish this year, I think, at $1.8 billion. Mm. And so at the end of the day, I mean, unfortunately, the younger voter particularly doesn't really care about the rules and limitations. They just want drastic action. They don't really give a crap about party. They don't care about ideology. And which is kind of wild. It's like you see some of these influencers, and you know all these names too, but some of them are part of the holy war. They are part of the Trump's a dictator, and we have to protest ICE. You know, you can carve those people out. But then who's left is a lot of open-minded, independent people who are actually kind of economic leftists. Mm-hmm. They really are. That's why Bernie appeals to them. And some of them are more, you know, socially conservative. Some of them aren't. Some of them are just brutally independent. Like you have your shoe on heads, you have your Asmund Golds, you have people like this. And what they all agree on is that they just want to see the brutal fist of justice. They don't want a world where these protesters can get paid to attack our own federal agencies, and they don't understand why things haven't been happening faster. And it gets to the point where I think Trump's like tweets are starting to damage him. Like, how many more Truth Social posts is he going to put out there against Ilhan Omar? before people, I mean, they're already kind of starting to laugh about it. You know, I mean, like, why are we still talking about her after 5 or 6 years? I think Republicans just partnered with Democrats to shut down disclosing some of the information about her that could aid in her deportation.
Yeah.
And so you look at the Congress, and it's just like, who do you have? You have Comer. Like, who else is doing anything?
Yeah.
You have Comer out there referring people for prosecution over this fraud, and nobody else is doing freaking anything. And he was the AutoPen scandal guy. And, you know, where is even the J6 commission we were supposed to have?
Yeah, it's a
little...
No, Mark, I mean, you're spot on. This is the problem, though. We have people now who are coming out of these government positions telling us that we can't ask these serious questions. We can't really demand accountability, because who are we to ask for accountability? Well, we are the U.S. taxpayers. We are the ones who vote and elect these people. We're so motivated to sit there and get to the bottom of all this corruption that we, in fact, elected the one individual who was addressing all of it and was telling us this was a top priority for him. So, Mark, I'm all on board with you on this one, and we need to call it out. We need to be aggressive on this front. Mark Mitchell, you do an incredible job as the head pollster over at Rasmussen Reports. You've got your finger on the pulse, and that's the reason why they invited you over to the White House. They wanted to hear what the American people think and how they're polling, and yours are always accurate. That's the reason why you were invited to the White House to talk with all of the most powerful people right now in this administration. So, Mark Mitchell, thank you for joining us as always. You are always very insightful, and we appreciate your time as always. So thank you, my friend. All right, guys, we got our eye
on
what's happening over in New York City with the DHS secretary. We'll let you know when Kristi Noem begins to speak, and we'll start taking your calls. I see the phone lines are blowing up, so we'll get to the calls in just a moment. So buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a bit. Kristi Noem just made her way to the podium in New York City. Let's listen in to see if she talks about the shooting yesterday in Minneapolis.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'm Kristi Noem, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. And today we're here to talk about an operation that's been going on for several months. In fact, after an incident happened here in New York City that brought us to a point where we recognized that we had to work together in order to bring illegal criminal aliens to justice. Nearly 6 months ago, two criminal illegal aliens attacked an off-duty Customs and Border Protection agent and his friend while they were sitting on a rock in a park after hours enjoying the evening together. These two criminals came and attempted to rob them, and it ended up where they bravely fought back. This officer defended himself and his friend, but not before being shot in the face and in the arm by one of these criminals. Immediately after, the men and women of the Homeland Security investigations worked with NYPD, leading to the arrest of that gunman in just 2 hours. Within 28 hours, the second assailant was arrested as well, and those individuals have been brought to justice. But those individuals would have never been in this country if they hadn't been allowed in by the Biden administration when they ignored our federal laws and allowed them to come in illegally. Now, the officer that was injured doesn't seek public attention. He wishes to remain anonymous, but he had a distinguished career and a legacy of service and continues to do so. But his life was forever altered by this heinous crime. His attackers never should have been in this country, and they've been protected and were protected up until that point by sanctuary city policies. In fact, they had long criminal rap sheets and were released by the Biden administration and continued to be released by leaders in this city to perpetuate crimes against the citizens that live here. During our investigation, we learned that these scumbags were affiliated with a transnational criminal organization, the notorious Trinitarius gang in New York. We began to target every single last person that is affiliated with them and recognized that they needed to be brought to justice. The American people deserve dignity. They deserve justice. And we deliver both. So we launched Operation Salvo here in New York City. Operation Salvo was a cooperation of the resources of CBP, HSI, ERO, and also the federal prosecutors from the Southern District of New York. The New York County District Attorney's Office also participated in this operation. We've arrested 54 individuals as a part of Operation Salvo since its inception just a few months ago. Those arrested are violent transnational gang members.
Let me zip in on this.
And
that's obviously good news. I remember the footage that was shared with the public. The individual was literally just sitting on a rock looking at the water with another person next to him when they tried to rob him. So thankfully he is okay. But let's start jumping into some calls. I do see that we do have a long list of callers. So let's kick things off. Let's turn to Jordan in New Jersey. Jordan, welcome to the show.
I just wanted to call. I'm from Minneapolis. I was born there. I grew up in New Jersey, but we always had strong connections with the area. We had friends and, basically family that were so close that had to leave the area because they basically said this before it was even a term that was used, called invasion, where their community was taken over basically by Somalis. Mm-hmm. They had to leave the community because of mostly crime, and they were being intimidated constantly. And I think we've seen clips of this recently. It's funny that you brought up the water in Minnesota issue. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was born with a birth defect, right? It took me years to understand what it was, but it was tied directly to the extraordinary, like 15 times even what the EPA allows of atrazine in water that is being dumped into the Minnesota water supply because of all the agricultural production. And in those areas, you'll see increased birth defects, high numbers of transgender people, and so forth. So there is scientific evidence that actually supports what you said earlier. All you have to do is go to, any search interface, even Google, and put atrazine levels and put Minnesota water supply, and you'll see some very damning reports from a whole host of environmental groups about the levels in these areas. Also notable, Nebraska has a huge transgender population. And their, corn production and stuff and the use of atrazine is way off the charts.
Yeah. So what's the reasoning for it, though, the chemical being in the water? Is it intentionally being placed there, or is it a runoff from something else?
Well, it's used in agriculture production, but it was banned in Europe in 2003. They haven't used it in Europe since 2003. Mm. And you know who owns the patent now for atrazine? Mm. The National Chinese Chemical Company.
Oh.
Syngenta. Who went after Tyrone Hayes, mm-hmm. who exposed this. Alex has shown these clips of Mr. Hayes discussing what it does to the frogs and so forth. So the fact that, it's still in use in this country should be looked into by, Robert Kennedy, mm-hmm. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., frankly. And I think that, any area that uses this in high amounts, you'll see South Africa is also known for this. And other places, you have these huge transgender numbers, Thailand. The use of this chemical is off the charts. Mm. So there is a correlation. It's scientifically provable in clinical studies. And the agribusiness people would never, their control over the Congress and legislators have caused this to be an ongoing issue. I'm trying to develop pamphlets, books, and other things to bring it to the fray. I might be suing some people myself upon the discovery of some problems I've had in life as a result of this poisoning. Mm-hmm. So there is a basis for this. Also, I want to state before I leave you, Governor Walz has to be looked into as to his involvement as to these local protesters. Yeah. And what they told the local police. If they told local police to stand down, they're the ones that should have been moving people off the streets, okay? And that's the bottom line. The immigration people were kind of, they had no choice because they don't have any local support. So they're put in this unenviable position. And so that has to be brought out and highlighted to say that, well, you told your own local police to stand down and not interject amongst these protesters, you're responsible for their death. You, Governor Walz, mayor, the mayor of Minneapolis, okay, he let old people die in 2020. These people have to be brought to justice and thrown in jail. And we're still trying to figure out who killed, all right, the legislative leader, okay, and that whole thing. There's been no local prosecutions. And once again, like I say every time I speak to you and I start, I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, the local federal prosecutors and the DOJ is completely compromised to where we can't get control over these people that are basically paid through the NGOs and people like Soros to sit here and to destroy these local communities from the inside out in a Clower and Piven type strategy. So until that is done, You're going to continue to see this. And there's limitations as to what the federal government can do. And so there has to be local fraud investigations. Mm-hmm. So I just want to bring that up and share some of that with you. Yeah. And I urge everybody to look into, this atrazine issue, which Alex used to be very vocal on. But he's been doing other stuff and hasn't spoken about it basically in many years.
Yeah.
But it's a huge health problem, and the transgender crisis and all this other stuff. There are actually people that do have chromosomal damage that that need to be addressed. There's a scientific problem there.
Jordan, we're going to keep looking into that because, I am with you on that. There's definitely something fishy in the water. Or I'll stop doing that. But Jordan, I do appreciate your insight and I appreciate you calling in. It's something that definitely needs to be looked into. And I always feel like a broken record when I talk about the no arrest being made as well. So I'm with you on there, my friend. Thank you for calling. As always, we appreciate it. Let's turn to Joshua in New Hampshire. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to kind of caveat that these callers are amazing. So yeah, it's funny. It's hard to sit back and say, oh, the people in New York voted for Mamdani, when we know elections are stolen. Oh, these people are low IQ, transgender people, when we know we're all being poisoned by pesticides and herbicides. But the reason why I called in today, sorry, for construction, I just had to run over the room to grab my phone. So the way you guys are covering this story, I feel could go either way. We don't have enough evidence, but looking at the two videos you guys were playing on repeat yesterday, I do think there is some standing on her freaking out and wanting to escape. Because if you look at the position of her tires, she has turned full cock to the right when she starts to accelerate away from the officers. And then the damning part, which I don't want to say this because as former, no former Marines, but as a Marine veteran myself, I know the sacred oath and I stand with these officers and I want deportations. But if this is protocol and training to sort of lean into a vehicle as it starts to move, and his firearm was already drawn before she started moving as well. If you keep replaying those videos, you can see that. So that was just my take. I feel it can go either way. I think she's dumb for going out and doing this stuff and putting herself in harm's way like that. Peacefully protesting is off the side of the road with a sign, not trying to block the road with your car. But I do think law enforcement are on such high edge that they're kind of able to overstep boundaries, where if we flip the roles and it was Biden's Gustafa trying to round up J6ers for no reason, and we went out and peacefully protested and they shot us in the same scenario, we would have a different take on it.
Yeah, so I want to...
We need to kind of break it down legally.
Yeah, well, and I would break it down based on the officer's perspective. You're talking about the tires and how you see them because you're watching the video as it's being filmed from a sidewalk. But the officer who is the agent, who's the one who's doing the shooting, he doesn't see the tires. So he doesn't see her turning the tires like you're describing to the right. So he wouldn't have that perspective. He would have the perspective of the cars coming straight at me. And I'm telling, and I hear my partner telling her to stop and get out of the vehicle. And instead, it looks like from my perspective, she's driving at me with my gun drawn. So they have a very limited perspective there. So I would go based on the officer's perspective. Yeah, she could speak, you could say that she's trying to drive away and she's not angling at the officer, but again, he doesn't see her tires and what direction she's trying to turn them in. She shouldn't even be in this position in the first place. This isn't a natural situation that most Americans would find themselves in. And from the, you know, I know you bring up the J6ers. You know, J6ers were having their homes raided, and you know, we didn't hear about J6ers turning a gun on officers. We didn't hear them trying to escape by jumping in their car to mow down officers. FBI agents said that they were trying to be arrested. We saw all these videos, even one of the J6ers being arrested at a shopping center. And when he was instructed to stop, he did just that. And he followed the officers' steps, what they were giving him. So I think there's a massive difference between those on the left and those on the right. Because when we are in those situations, when we do see rogue agencies from our perspective, which was the FBI under the Biden regime, and still we haven't seen those corrections to what most people probably would say is to our liking. The reality of it is from the perspective of those who are in this situation, information. They have a split second to make that decision. This officer, this agent, was someone who we've heard the secretary, DHS secretary Kristi Noem, say that back in June he was dragged by another individual who did the same exact thing. So that image is still very fresh in his mind, that he was dragged based on a situation that was very similar to this. This woman made a conglomerate of just bad decisions, and to compare how J6ers were treated, I don't see it. I think it's a bit of a reach from my perspective here. I think that she made a bunch of bad decisions. She decided to use her car as a way to block them from doing their jobs, and we never saw a J6er do just that. The worst it got was for Ashley Babbitt, who we can compare that to, because obviously she was murdered in the Capitol, but she was doing an unauthorized tour. She wasn't armed. She wasn't aggressively approaching. You know, you could say that she was crawling into a space that she shouldn't have been in. Okay, yes. Yes, I would say that she shouldn't have been there, but a warning or a quick pushback would have done the job efficiently, because she was not a threat. And the officer that day, too, Byrd, didn't even notice that there was other officers coming in behind, that he could have shot and killed them as well. So that was a reckless situation. So I see it a bit differently. I think that the perspective of the officer who did shoot, good. I think that his perspective is seeing a car coming at him, and I'm sure he had some body cam footage, and I would love to see what he saw that day so we could all kind of understand that perspective. But again, that has to do with the missing footage that we haven't seen yet, Josh, that you alluded to as well. So I just wanted to bring that up. But let's go back down to another call. And Joshua, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. And based on your excellent coverage this morning, I said to myself, well, I can't help but remind everyone, driving is not a right. It is a privilege that the state giveth and taketh away. It's not like breathing air. You have to fulfill some requirements, although not to get a commercial driver's license in California. I guess you can just show up and get one of those. But anyways, this morning I saw Department of Homeland Security release the numbers from January 20th to November 18th. So about 10 months worth of data for vehicle ramming attacks on ICE and CBP officers. And it was 99 against federal law enforcement, 71 against CBP, and 28 against ICE. But trying to pretend that this is like, oh, it was an asteroid strike that happened and hit somebody's roof, and oh boy, this is going on where people are just a total reckless disregard for their privilege, and they're just using it like a weapon, like, hey, I don't like you, I'm mad at you, and whammo! It's like, man, say some video game. You're going to kill somebody like that. So, you explained it, so there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I feel bad for these agents. I can't even imagine what they're enduring. I mean, we caught them getting all doxxed. It was both DHS, we saw on the black web, or dark web as they call it, FBI, and other DOJ as well, and all of their names, their addresses, everything was posted online. So again, like, they're all in fear for their lives, and rightfully so. So I don't really, I have a level of empathy for them rather than the people that are out there doing this. If you put yourself in this situation, that's on you. But the vehicle rammings, the attacks that are being taken place, I mean, just imagine if she had people in the backseat of the car, and as soon as they cut off these agents, they were ambushed, and three or four people jumped out of the back and just started opening fire on those agents, and they're stuck in a car. I mean, there's just so many different perspectives from here that you could, or I guess you should say angles of all of this that we could look at. And I understand why they're doing what they're doing. I understand why when you see a car coming at you, your first response is to shoot, because you were just dragged in the street and almost killed 6 months ago. So we see this playing out, and yes, I'm on their side on that one. I am on their side on that one. Thanks for calling, as always, Tim. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Savage Dog in Georgia. Savage Dog, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
All due respect to my brother Marine, Josh, who called. I'm going to give you a movie quote from a Marine movie, Major Payne. If you want sympathy, look in the dictionary between shit and syphilis. I don't care. You could say, you slow down the video 2 seconds. She put it in drive, squealed the tires, was driving straight at him. Let's say her wheel was cocked all the way to the right. She still hit him. I don't care that, PTSD from previous being hit by the car, that's actually not good for him. Because they could say, well, he was in distress because of, you know, something happened before. It don't have anything to do with this. But no, she was in the wrong. She used her vehicle as a weapon. He fired to defend himself and other officers and other pedestrians, let's not forget. Let's say she speeds off and they chase her. Icy roads, who knows how many people she would have killed. Anyway, the point of this call is Governor Walz, a sitting governor of a state, Minnesota, just declared war on the federal government, officially said, I declare war on the federal government. That's treason. That's insurrection. Get him arrested today. Military tribunal. Don't waste your time with courts and all the bullsniz. No. Arrest him. Military tribunal. Swing him from a rope in Guantanamo. That's what needs to happen. 3 weeks, you're done. This is the biggest threat. That I can see is that a sitting governor declares war. Didn't we fight a whole thing in like the 1860s over some stuff like that? I don't know. What do you think? I mean, that's treason.
Yeah.
That's insurrection.
I'm waiting to see like what's going on right now because they're still doing the raids, which I love. Like they're not going to back down. He's using this obviously to divert attention, but I'm with you. Obviously, I want to wait for an entire investigation. There's no way. Okay, right. We talked about it at the beginning of the show, too, that they have all taken a knee to the Somalian population in his state, and they're all just like so ecstatic to support Somalians. Again, it's 6 million people who live there, 100,000 Somalians. It never really made any sense as to why they are catering to this demographic exclusively. So there's always been kind of a red flag in my mind. Trials need to happen. We need to, and I'm so fed up with trials not being, by the way, televised. All of them should be. It's 2026. We should be able to see what's going on behind closed doors. But yeah, I'm on board for going out there, charging these people appropriately. But again, I mean, we sit here and say it all the time. You and I both don't have a problem with putting these people on criminal trial. Unfortunately, though, our federal government doesn't seem to be doing all that. They are investigating, though, so I'll give them that. We'll see how it all plays out. But I mean, the fact that Tim Walz is no longer running for re-election tells me that there's probably something there that he doesn't want the public finding out about. And we're getting very, very close to finding that. So, Savage Dog, thank you. I appreciate it, as always, my friend. I want to get to at least one more caller before we have to wrap. Let's go to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the conditions here in Minnesota. It hasn't been as bad in the past years. Mm-hmm. But this year has been absolutely terrible for roads and ice. Everything is ice hardened. It's slick. It's just a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And it happened over the past 2 or 3 weeks. There's just been a very strange type of weather change throughout the day where you go from being in the 30s and then it drops. And, you know, it's getting a little bit better, a little more average now, but it's still, you wait, you go to work, you drop your kids off at school. You know, you're seeing there's fog in the air. So the conditions are horrible. So these ICE agents are not only dealing with the Joker Waltz's, you know, crew of vandals now, they've been dealing with these elements. And you can watch in the video of, you know, what happened yesterday. And these agents are slipping all over. If I had the means, I would buy them ice cleats. They need, it is, I'm not kidding. It's the roads, you will slide and rear end somebody if you are not paying attention. So, but the number one thing here to focus in on, and I echo the sentiments of the previous caller, is when you have public officials that are putting putting the civilians out to do their dirty work. You see Jacob Fry or Tim Walz going out and doing anything, and they're preventing their police until it gets escalated, then they make it look like, okay, we're doing something, but they always hold off. So was this person already, you know, the individual that was shot yesterday, was this person, do we have footage, was she already blocking traffic prior to that and they were having enough of it? She, you know, I don't know, were they thinking she's just going to continue to do so?
Are they part of some type of group? The FBI can investigate that, I do believe, and find out. And this terrorist stuff, this domestic terrorism, if they aren't Antifa, okay, well, then what are they? They probably have shifted because now Antifa has that domestic terrorist title to it. And, you know, there's officials that sit on almost, the most recent with Jacob Frey, you'll see Jamal Osman, the 6th Ward District Representative. And we know, well, I think I've made it clear on a couple of my calls, the background there, that this individual is, it's funny, he's always there. And then when Jacob made the comment about, oh, get the F out of Minneapolis, you'll see that he's the gentleman to the right of the officer, the female officer, our right, her left. And they're both, the two guys are there just going, yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. This stuff is all incitement.
Yeah.
Get them out of office. It's not our job to go down and protest the protesters that are insane. They are insane down there. We do not forget, this is eight city blocks away from George Floyd.
Yeah, and we saw that play out. Yeah, Chad, we're tight because we're about to wrap the show up. But, Chad, you're 100% right, and it's very, very close to George Floyd. And that's where we're getting all these BLM flashbacks, honestly, at this point. So spot on, Chad. We appreciate you calling in. Everyone else who called in today, thank you so much. We appreciate your time, as always. All right, but don't go anywhere. The Alex Jones Show begins in just a few moments.